go.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are off and running for this Friday, the 11th day of January 2019, the end of the first full week of January. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us online. That's where you go if you'd like to click on the chat room button and jump into the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live. Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you do pick out a screen name and a password and jump in for the first time, well, you will be immediately greeted. It's going to be one of those nights. Greeted by the likes of Anatole and Little Thunder and Sailor Chick and Otto and Reggie, Scott and Squeaky, the Urban Prospector and the Warrior Witch, and more will probably be wandering along in short order. You'll also be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although a spacing guild master, has seen the better part of valor and chosen not to fold space and to simply remain Sparky for the evening. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch, that most looked forward to day of madcap, wacky, zany extravaganza-ness, because this is the day when Sparky turns on the Bob signal, shines it off the clouds, throws out the breadcrumb trail, and leads us all to the old hollow tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep our extraordinary, ordinary round table for just such evenings as this. We'll get the extraordinary, ordinary round table conversation going here in about an hour. If you'd like to be part of it and you never have before, well, by Jove, I heartily encourage you to send a contact request on Skype to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunk on Skype, one word, Sparky Dunk, and he will show you indeed the aforementioned breadcrumb trail and point you in the right quadrant of the sky where you can see the Bob signal shining off the clouds. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa, letting us know that we are sizzling on hot plates as far as the streams are concerned. Both of them are banging on all cylinders, and so you can get the program at headon.live. That's the easiest place, but also the stream is available at whiterosesociety.org. It's available at TuneIn and Roku devices and Stitcher, and the podcast is on podbean.com. And Now, unless I'm sorely mistaken, you can even find the podcast on Spotify. How's about that, sports fans? Yes. We always begin the program with thanks. Thanks going out this evening to our subscribers, partial sponsors of the program, who make it possible for us to pay for about a week's worth of the broadcast every month, without which we would be in dire straits indeed. Thank you to Tony in Chico, one of our longest subscribers. Thank you very much. Thank you to Matthew. Thanks, Matthew, very kindly. And thanks as well to S. Andrews. Thank you very kindly. Thanks as well to John. Thank you, John. And to Libby. Thank you, Libby. Thanks to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you, Paul. Thank you to Christopher as well. And thank you to Mary Bell. Those are our subscribers for this, the 11th day of the month. If you'd like to be a subscriber, remember, Our buddy Dave from Taliban, Indiana, is willing to double the first month's subscription for anybody who would like to become a new subscriber up until the end of this evening. The offer's been on the table for 3 days now and has gone unanswered. But if someone would like to become a new subscriber, Dave from Taliban, Indiana, a subscriber in his own right, will be more than happy to double your first month's subscription. And so that will hopefully that will be a bit of an incentive. And someday, maybe we'll have 400 subscribers and there won't be any more talk of fundraising. But as it stands, we come into the evening $435 in the hole. $435 in fundraising gets us to the end of the week, finishes the bill paying that I have partially completed, and gets us a clean start come Monday with more and Monday, okay? The PayPal button is over at headon.live. And, of course, there's also a Patreon button there if you'd like for your subscription to come out at the beginning of the month, the same time every month, first of the month, then maybe the Patreon button is for you, especially if you, like, you know, despise PayPal. Right. So that takes care of all that. Hopefully we will knock out the 435 this evening and go in and just have a nice, relaxing, apparently frigid weekend here. It was a beautiful day here in Mount Colby Gone, but it was also cold. And we've got a mix of yucky snow and sleet coming over the course of the coming weekend. We'll muddle through somehow, as the lyric to the song goes. We'll muddle through and come back here for more in Monday. What else? Any program notes? No. As I put up something on Facebook today. Several of you have seen it. I cropped and zoomed in on an ancient family photo of my grandmother at probably about 5 years old, born 125 years ago today. And as I was out running around, taking care of errands, filling up the kerosene jugs and what have you, he said, suddenly remembering to turn on the propane here in the studio. I thought back to what January the 11th, 1894, must have been like, and how hard it was to keep a room or even a house warm. She was the eldest of the new family that my great-grandfather had started. And she was the first birth for his new wife. She was the daughter of a pair of parents who were referred to, and we've got their photo too, as Virginia and Old Man John. Virginia sits in a cane-back chair with a Bible on her lap and her hands resting piously atop the Bible. Old Man John, however, it just stands there, stiff as a board, upright, and don't move now, while wearing his old felt hat. They were, their last name was Potter. But 125 years have passed since that day when she was born. And in that 125 years, this state has been devastated, denuded, destroyed. What a little ray of fucking sunshine you are, Bob Kincaid. And I just, I can't help wondering. I mean, yeah, electricity, sure. but at tremendous cost. That generation of people, if they survived, tended to live up into their 80s. And so, you know, one wonders how far advanced we are. When I was a kid, my grandmother would tell me about the first time she ever saw an airplane flying over where she was living. And she lived in this general area for ages, well, pretty much all of her life, except for short time spent with us in our home down in Alabama when I was a kid, and brief times with her son's family. And that's and spent 60 plus years teaching school. Dear God, 60 years of screaming heathen hillbilly children. It cannot have been easy. And she was quite the patriot, very much a Democrat. And I couldn't, since it was her 125th birthday, I just couldn't help wondering what in the world she would make of this madness we see before us today. I'd like to think she would not have been a maggot. I cannot be certain about that, however. But since she was a Democrat, it's highly unlikely she would have been. But the government shutdown continues for no one really knows how long. And as I have been trying to get across, the biggest problem isn't Donald Trump. The biggest problem in all of this is chinless Mitch McConnell. A number of bills left the House, went to the Senate, and Chinless Mitch just simply said they were not going to be taken up because the president would veto them. I had no idea that Chinless Mitch was in possession of a crystal ball or tea leaves. And then there's this constitutional thing he called overriding the veto. Not sending him a bill because you think he'll veto it is not a legitimate exercise of political power. You send him the bill and you make him either veto it or sign it. If he vetoes it, you bring it back and you raise all manner of holy hell in both houses of Congress about the fact that there are 800,000 people who aren't getting paid and who are being asked to sacrifice their very lives on the altar of the ego of a bloated adipose Adderall snorting maniac whose racism and whose bigotry and whose xenophobia outstrips any concern he might have, here's a hint, he doesn't, for the American people. Seems fairly clear to me where the problem lies. Now, as we got close to going to air, apparently the story changed a little bit. The chlamydia Claudius declared that No, he's not going to declare a national emergency, .. yet. Remember, for the love of God, please remember that this is a guy who got his start, not with The Apprentice, not in reality television, who got his start in professional wrestling, where you always have to tune in next week to see if the blue bomber is going to finally best the red renegade. Oh, and if he doesn't, then maybe if you tune in next week, he finally will. So this is just another way for him to keep the attention focused on him instead of focusing on, say, the people who are actually suffering and who are actually having their lives upended, if not outright destroyed, by this temper tantrum. Interesting that he decided to declare that he hadn't decided to... Well, we're not going to have a shutdown yet. We might, but not yet. Somebody is apparently telling him that it will probably be the end of his presidency if he does that. Or maybe they're warning him of what can come in the future if he engages in such an act of narcissistic fiat. The facts aren't with him. It's not a crisis at the border, because if it was a crisis at the border, it would have been a crisis at the border during the 2 years in which he had a Senate and a House that could do as it pleased and somehow couldn't quite get around to providing him the billions and billions and billions of wasted dollars for his monument to his own goddamn bloated ego. That's not to say that he didn't have one, just a doozy of a day. Oh, no. No, no.
President Trump backing off his threat to declare a national emergency to fund his border wall today.
What we're not looking to do right now is national emergency.
The president making that...
Yeah. So, it's what they're not looking to do. But, of course, you got to remember, the man's a pathological liar. That CNN footage is an accurate representation of what he actually said. But he also said ever so much more, including, and I used a CNN clip for a reason, including an attack on another member of CNN and his particular bete noir, Jim Acosta.
The message is that I appreciate their service to the country. They are incredible people, the federal employees that we're talking about. But many of them agree with what I'm saying.
Not a shred of evidence to suggest that, not an iota.
And what the people in this room who are experts are saying. They don't want to see people killed because we can't do a simple border structure. And I appreciate their incredible support. We have, yesterday, I was watching this morning and reading this morning that so many people are saying the president is doing what's right, and even though it's affecting us.
In other words, he tuned into Fox and Fiends.
Short term, temporarily, as you know, a bill was just passed, which I will sign in Congress, making sure that everybody's going to be paid immediately upon when this is over.
That's another lie. Because everyone is not going to be paid when this is over. Contract employees, for instance, as opposed to people who are full employees of the federal government, ain't going to get their back pay. Just not. If they're furloughed, they're just unpaid until they get to go back to work. If they're contractors who are deemed important and they're working... they're working for free. Which, interestingly enough, does bring some legal issues into the debate. And as a matter of fact, a number of federal workers filed suit yesterday against Geezer Disgustus. It was filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia. And the essential claim of the suit is that requiring someone to report for duty without pay during a shutdown is violative of the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, which you may recall, much to the chagrin of Trumpansies, maggots everywhere, forbids slavery. Let's go to the text of the 13th Amendment just so that we can get it from the horse's mouth, as it were. It's not a long amendment. Pretty straightforward. Amendment 13, Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Section 2, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for a crime. And so, by requiring people to come to work even though they are not being paid, the theory of the case is that they are being subjected to involuntary servitude. Also, a second claim within the lawsuit is that beginning on December the 22nd, the government violated the Fifth Amendment rights of the plaintiffs because it limited their ability to look for alternative work during a shutdown. In other words, here I am, an unpaid TSA agent, and I got to show up to work every day for free. And if I didn't have to do that, I could be out looking for other work and paying my damn rent. The plaintiffs themselves, we don't know who they are. We do know two of them are from the Department of Justice. The other three are in the Department of Transportation, Agriculture, and Homeland Security. Of them, four of them have been required to work without pay, and one has been deemed non-essential and thus furloughed. In the defendant part of the lawsuit appear the names of, well, Tangerine Tiberius himself, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, wife of Chinless Mitch McConnell. Wonder if her presence in the administration might be part of why Chinless Mitch is doing what he's doing. Kirstjen Nielsen, Homeland Security Secretary, who, of course, has had children drop dead on her watch while in American captivity. Yeah. And then not really Attorney General Matthew Hot Tub Time Machine Whitaker and Sonny Perdue of the Department of Agriculture. And the suit really wouldn't have much of a chance at all were it not for the fact that, well, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini breathed life into it himself by saying, oh, the shutdown could go on for months or even years, which then really puts the servitude in involuntary servitude. Ultimately, what they want is an injunction that says the federal government cannot require employees to report for work without pay during the shutdown. It also seeks to keep the government from being able to tell employees that they can't work elsewhere during the shutdown. Lawsuits have also been filed against the Trump regime, against two of the unions that represent federal employees. That would be the National Treasury Employees Union and the American Federation of Government Employees. And all of this, all of this is a result of what is no more nor less than a hostage taking. 800,000 Americans are being, and more really, because the lack of services affects far more Americans, are being held hostage to the ego of a narcissistic speed freak. Well, so Congress has shut down. Mitch McConnell just bailed out and boogied. Look, he's scomping. He's scomping off. Leaving people who actually want to do their jobs in the Congress to hang fire. But there are real repercussions. Serious repercussions. Have you ever heard of Native American Lifelines? Native American Lifelines is a nonprofit group, tax exempt, and they deliver actual health services to Native Americans all over the United States. Well, they're out in the cold as far as getting paid is concerned. What happens, and this is part of the Byzantine complexity of doing services for the government, Native American Lifelines provide all kinds of health services, everything from prescriptions to screenings to home visits to make sure that elderly Native Americans can do things like manage their diabetes. And they do so under an agreement with the Indian Health Service. But Native American Lifelines has to provide the services. And then they give an invoice to IHS, Indian Health Services, and Indian Health Services then pays them. So I said more than 800,000 people. Well, okay. The Indian Health Service provides some degree of health care to almost 2 million indigenous Americans, both in the lower 48 and in Alaska. There's an inspiring part of the story. Many of the people who work, for instance, for Native American Lifelines, well, they are indigenous themselves. And they have said, we have real connections to this community because these communities are us. And so they have continued to work even though they aren't getting paid. It's inspiring, but it's heartbreaking. By the way, guess why Native Americans have access to whatever health service that the IHS provides? Well, it's because of treaties that the United States signed with various and sundry tribes, in which they said, in exchange for the cession of claims to land, that they would take care of the health care needs of the tribes. Oh, you know how it goes. As long as sky is blue, wind blows, grass is green, and water runs. In other words, this isn't just a government shutdown. This is a deliberate, intentional breach of a treaty with a sovereign Indian or a number of sovereign Indian nations. So, what happens when the meds run out because they can't buy more meds? What happens when the gasoline runs out and the workers can't make their home visits? Well, maybe an 89-year-old Native American woman dies freezing and alone in an apartment, say, in Boston. Or maybe a baby is born on the reservation and dies for want of postnatal care. Those events, and they're going to happen. They're going to happen with 2 million human beings receiving medical care from Indian health services who contract out to people like Native American Lifelines. It is bound to happen. And every last one of them will be directly and proximately the fault of Donald J. Trump, who doesn't give a good old-fashioned damn. Because, see, all those indigenous Americans out there can't give him any money. And if you can't enrich Donald Trump, well, then... Oh, what's that complicated old legal term? Yeah, fuck off. Oh, speaking of giving money to Donald Trump, this was one of the more bizarre headlines that I ran across today. According to the Financial Times, understand, first of all, there is a vacancy in the presidency of the World Bank. Because Jim Yong Kim said, screw it, and quit in the last few days. As a matter of fact, Monday. Jim Yong Kim resigned as World Bank president 3 years ahead of when he was supposed to leave the office. Well, that leads us to the Financial Times story. Get the hockey puck. Because according to the Financial Times, Precious Ivanka is being considered by someone to be president of the World Bank. Really. You have no idea how I wish I was joking. According to the Financial Times report, quoting, a World Bank president chosen by the Trump administration could, in particular, try to limit its financing of projects intended to tackle climate change, as well as any work that is seen as supporting the building of Chinese infrastructure. Gosh, could you see the Julius Geyser administration actually trying to limit loans to combat climate change? Because, see, I could. Also, according to the report, former UN Ambassador Nimrata Haley, you remember her, the woman who was so goddamn dumb that she was pranked into thinking she was talking to the president of Poland, when she was actually talking to
Moscow Morning Zoo Crew 97.1. We make funny phone call now to UN Ambassador Nimrata Nikki Haley. Listen and laugh. Ha ha ha. Yeah, that Nikki Haley. But boy, howdy, we doggies, couldn't precious Ivanka get up to some damn mischief at the World Bank? Mm-hmm. Note coming in from Steve in New York. It occurs to me that the shutdown has nothing to do with the wall. This is exactly what Putin wants. Destroy us from within. The wall is an excuse. Remember this? About the capitalist states, it doesn't depend on you whether or not we exist. If you don't like us, don't accept our invitations and don't invite us to come see you. Whether you like it or not, history is on our side. We will bury you, Nikita Khrushchev. Think about it, says Steve. He revs up the base with this promise during the campaign, laying the groundwork to be able to wield threats from his base, with the repercussions being retaliation from a rabid, gun-toting white supremacist horde, which is, as noted, gun-toting, armed to the damn teeth. But back now to Julius Geezer, struggling with what tenuous grasp he still has on reality as the cameras rolled.
But I just really appreciate the fact that they have handled it so incredibly well. And many of them agree with what we're doing. We have no choice. Steve, go ahead.
Well, 24 hours ago, you were saying you're probably going to declare a national emergency.
No, I said I could do it, but I'll tell you what. It's the easy way out. But Congress should do this. This is...
It's the easy way out? Is it the bone spurs way out? Is that what he's saying there? I mean, it all gets so confusing. But he did say, I could do it. My lawyers have told me I could do it, and I'm probably going to do it. Yeah. Yeah, as Monique reminds us, remember the turtle's wife is transportation secretary. Think that might have something to do with his cowardliness? I think it might have a whole bunch to do with his cowardliness. A whole bunch indeed. Now, let's see. Back to the freak show.
Too simple. It's too basic. And Congress should do this. If they can't do it, if at some point they just can't do it, this is a 15-minute meeting. If they can't do it, I will declare a national emergency. I have the absolute right to do it. It says as clear as you can. Now, what will happen? I'll be sued.
No. It says as clear as you can. What says it, Julius? What says it, Julius Geezer? Give us a, you know, you've been talking with your law. Give us a code site. Where does your authority to declare a national emergency come from, bub? Huh, you don't know. But then he says, I'll be sued. Well, he will. He most assuredly will.
It says as clear as you can. Now, what will happen? I'll be sued. It'll be brought to the Ninth Circuit. And maybe even though the wording is unambiguous, just like with the travel ban, it'll be appealed to the Ninth Circuit.
See, this is what shows you that he doesn't know shit from Shinola if you held the two out in front of him and rubbed both in his nostrils. Here. Shit. Here. Shinola. Which is which?
I have no idea. Where's my Adderall?
But he says it'll be taken to the Ninth Circuit. No, dumbass. It'll be heard in a U.S. District Court. The Ninth Circuit is a circuit court of appeals. It is not a court of original jurisdiction, fuckwit. This motherfucker don't know nothing, does he? I'm sorry, is it... I think that's an appropriate reference to Donald J. Trump now that, yes.
And we'll probably lose there, too, and then hopefully we'll win in the Supreme Court. But that's what happens. You can take the most perfectly worded document, as we have in this case, and...
Oh, in this case, he has the most perfectly worded document. It's a beautiful document. It's the best document. It's all just word salad. He's desperately trying to string words together out there to make it appear that he knows what he's talking about when he doesn't have the first goddamned idea. He doesn't know it would be overturned in the Ninth Circuit. He can't even be certain that it would go to the Ninth Circuit. Hell, it might be challenged in the D.C. Federal U.S. District Court and go to the D.C. Circuit. But someone has told him Ninth Circuit, and one of the spirochetes remembers that he doesn't like the Ninth Circuit.
Liberals.
And so he just makes crap up about having beautiful documents. There's crazy and there's Trump and his mental degeneration becomes apparent on a day-by-day-by-day basis.
They'll always bring it to the Ninth Circuit. And then you never know what's going to come out of the Ninth Circuit. And you never know what's going to come out on appeal. But for...
You ever... Now, granted, we're talking about the video here, and I understand that's not particularly helpful in radio, but just permit me to paint the word picture for a moment. You know, precious Ivanka joked to her friends that it took her 2 hours a day to do daddy's hair. And in this particular video clip, you ever seen that fish? It's really creepy looking fish. Lives in the dark deeps of the ocean, and it swim, and it's got this one thing that just kind of it's like a fishing pole, and it just dangles, and it points out ahead of it, and it dangles this little cartilaginous squiggle out in front that other fish mistake for being something to eat. And when they come up to get it, the other fish goes and eats the little fish that was going after the lure. Evolution is fucking fascinating, you know? Somewhere along the way, there was a mutation that worked out. And so every other fish, all the other members of that species now get the little fishing line out, a fishing pole right out of the top of the head with the little cartilaginous dangle on the end. Well, in this video, Julius Geezer has something similar going out the side of his head. As I've played this clip and I've watched and his head's moved and bobbed, there's like two stray hairs and they're about 8 inches long and they're like, and you're just halfway expecting some little fish to come along and I'm sorry, it's just, you can go find the video. But the whole time that this clip's been playing, I've been distracted by those two hairs.
Fortunately, we have a Supreme Court that's treated us very fairly. So I'd rather not do it because this is something that Congress should easily do. This is...
Should easily do. The adverb helps, I think he thinks. No, he doesn't think at all. It's not easy. Was it Bismarck who said that there were two things you never wanted to see made? Law and sausage. Well, he knows absolutely nothing about the sausage making of the process of getting a bill together and passing a bill. And and by the way, the only people that would pass that for him are the minority in the House who still, the last remnant rump of the Freedom Caucus. Led, incidentally, or at least significantly influenced by Steve Cantaloupe's King. And Steve Cantaloupe's King, well,
advocate,
he's having a hard time because he gave that interview that we talked about last night. He gave that interview to the New York Times in which he asked what's wrong with the phrase white supremacist. And they didn't quote him wrong. And so now he's trying to, well, save what's left of his very, very pale hide.
Today, the New York Times is suggesting that I'm an advocate for white nationalism and white supremacy.
No, Steve, the New York Times didn't suggest that, you fucking dumbass. The New York Times quoted you saying what's wrong with the phrase white supremacist and white nationalist. That's not a suggestion, Steve. That's a quote.
I want to make one thing abundantly clear. I reject those labels and the evil ideology that they define.
And you've even taken the Confederate flag off your desk, which you had there for a number of years, by the way, until people found out you had a fucking Confederate flag on your desk. But the headline to the CNN story by Manu Raju is King not worried about backlash over racist comments as GOP silent over next steps. And why would he be worried? Kevin McCarthy, Steve Scalise, who had to apologize for addressing a group of white supremacists. So I didn't know they were white supremacists affiliated with David Duke. Yeah, sure you didn't. And Liz Cheney, who said, oh, this is reprehensible, and then did precisely nothing. His caucus is not going to do anything to him. All, however, is not lost. No. Because just before airtime, Agnes sent me a story from The Hill with, for me at least, confirmation of why it was a good idea to put the Democrats in charge of the House. Headline: Pelosi says there's interest in taking action on Steve King. Today, she indicated that, here's what she said. We'll see what we do about Steve King, but nonetheless, nothing is shocking anymore, right? The new normal around here is to praise white supremacists and nationalism as something that shouldn't be shunned. I'm not prepared to make any announcement about that right now, but needless to say, there's interest in doing something. And again, just so we can be clear, having heard his hollow denunciation of the white supremacy he has so for long embraced, the direct quote from the New York Times article, which I count on them to get right. And I got plenty of issues with the New York Times, but when it comes down to cub reporter stuff like getting a quote right, well, this: white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language become offensive? And so he went on to try to justify his abject and overt racism.
Further, I condemn anyone that supports this evil and bigoted ideology, which saw in its ultimate expression the systematic murder of 6 million innocent Jewish lives.
It's curious how he equates white supremacy with Nazi Germany. And remember, I mean, because words matter.
And bigoted ideology, which saw in its ultimate expression the systematic murder of 6 million innocent Jewish lives.
The ultimate expression of white supremacy was the Holocaust. Why, when we talk about white supremacy, in the United States, mostly what we're talking about is the Klan and lynchings and Knight Riders. And a terrorist campaign that lasted on American soil 100 years or more. Everything from the Knight Riders of Nathan Bedford Forrest up to the Klansmen who murdered Viola Liuzzo on a lonely highway in South Central Alabama in the lead up to the march from Selma to Montgomery. Is he going to get around to the Klan there, do you think? Anybody want to bet?
It's true that, like the Founding Fathers, I am an advocate for Western civilization's values, and that I profile...
Nope, forget it. He's just going to blow right past. See, that the silence. The silence is just like there's music. The silence between the notes is music, too. It's what he doesn't say that gives him away. He went to the Holocaust, but had not a word for the thousands of victims of the terrorism of the Klan, which, like I said, is the essence of the definition of white supremacy in the United States. Steve Scalise asked about, Steve King said, I think it's important that we all reject that kind of hateful ideology. It's evil, and we ought to reject everything it represents. I haven't even been focusing on the politics of what's going to happen later next year. I mean, obviously, we're going to have a lot of time for politics. Asked if King should be punished, representing Tom Cole from Oklahoma Stan said, I don't know. I think leadership's pushed back, and I know he's put out a clarifying statement. Yeah, oh, that statement clarified the hell out of things. Can't even point out the terrorism of the Klan in rejecting white supremacy. Yeah, he doesn't have to worry about any European voters. He has to worry about his Merkin ones. And trust me when I tell you that he don't want to piss off his white supremacist base. Chuck Grassley, senator from Iowa, he said, I think that any claim of white supremacy is wrong, and I detest it. Very seldom do I get involved in primaries, and right now you're 2 years away from elections. Ask me maybe in a year and a half or something. So they went on, CNN did, and asked him if he thought King was fit to serve in office, and he said, yeah, the people of Iowa elected him, and so, you know, the people have made a choice. Then there's Tom Emmer of Minnesota. They asked him something similar. He said, well, we don't usually get involved in primaries. I think it's way too early. You're talking 2 years from now. I mean, we don't typically get involved in primaries, and that's about all I have to say. In other words, we're hoping 2 years from now it will die down and Steve King can be reelected. And you know, he's already promised he'll keep the door locked when he decides to take off all his clothes and get naked and put his Klan robes on and cavort about his office. Transparent lot, these Republicans. Can't quite bring themselves to say Steve King needs to go away. Because then somebody might find some white supremacy in their background and say he needs to go away too. Oopsie. Note coming in from Ron in Raleigh. Where are all the Republicans yammering on about presidential overreach and the president thinking he's king and all the rest of that shit they said about Barack Obama? You know, if Barack Obama issued an executive order saying that kittens were fuzzy and lovable, the Republicans, whether it be McConnell on the one side or any of the maniacs over in the House, would begin to shrieking for all they were worth. Ooh, he's a tyrant. Ooh, he wants to be our king. He's a Kenyan Muslim usurper. Ooh, God, he wants to rule the world. As Ron points out, by the way, Stephen King said he's not a white supremacist, but he's an American nationalist, which seems to be a distinction without a difference. Well, and with emphasis on the stink part of distinction. We're coming up on the top of the hour, and I'm trying to see here. Ron in Raleigh says, wait a cotton picking minute. Am I mistaken when I say that South Africa was a white supremacist state? Didn't Israel try to help South Africa develop a nuclear weapon? So anti-Semitism had its ultimate expression in white supremacist ideology, and now I'm confused. Well, see, Ron, that's the kind of mess you get in when you want to denounce white supremacy, but you don't want to have to come right out and denounce the Klan. Because, see, that was the sticking point for Steve King. I mean, shit, they'd probably take away his they'd take away his Grand Cyclops. Coronet or emblems of insignia of office and regalia and shit. So here we are at the top of the hour. Another reminder, we've got $435 to raise for the evening, and then we will be done for the week. And it's time now to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And hopefully, if you've never tried and you'd like to, jump right in. We have what looks to be a merry group this evening. Of course, Sparky moderates the whole thing as he has for oh so many years. But we got our buddy Dennis and Marcus and Billable Rick and Steve from Georgistan. Little old me, you never know. Maybe our buddy John Bridavo will wander along here in a little bit. Let's run over and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm fine. John's going to be late.
Okay. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's doing running and errand.
Oh, okay. Happens to the best of us. I've been there. Just too cold and crummy in the man cave today?
Well, kind of. We've been dealing with rain for the better part of the last week.
Not that you're complaining.
This morning we wake up to fog. And then it's just cold and damp out there. I mean, the concrete in the man cave has even got some patches in it where the water's seeping up through the concrete. Or it doesn't. It just turns, discolors the concrete.
Oh, so it hasn't, but there's no risk of it, like, freezing and busting it or anything?
No. We don't really do hard freezes around here that often. But I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
Did you know wild turkeys love McDonald's?
No, but I can't wait to find out how you know.
Well, I'm driving.
Wasn't that a Morgan Spurlock documentary, actually, about wild turkeys?
No, wait, Rick. Let me tell you.
I know some McDonald's workers who love wild turkey.
It's called the transitive theorem or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sparky.
But anyway,
people know the Red Bluff. That, you know, there's the main part of town is cut in half by the freeway and the river too. But anyway, there's a ecosystem that lives by the river. But anyway, then there's on this road that I drive back home on, is right the first deal from the freeway. There's a typical Burger King, McDonald's, and all that stuff clustered right there. Well, I'm driving, Burger King's to my left, and I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden I see this big old bird fly over the road and land in the McDonald's parking lot. So I pull up to the traffic signal. I was probably the first person at the traffic signal to stop. I look over at the parking lot, and he's trotting towards the front door of the McDonald's. Or she, rather. It was a female.
Well, she knew Thanksgiving was over, and she was probably in the clear.
It's the funniest thing I'd seen in a long time, a turkey. Just in my mind's eye, you know, McDonald's doing a remodel on the place, too, and they put new entrances in and everything, and it's just funny to me.
Well, there's real advertising possibility there. Come on into McDonald's, you'll gobble them up.
Yeah, well, I also had something else I wanted to discuss.
Or McDonald's, I'm gobbling it.
Yeah.
Tough crowd.
I also had something else I wanted to expand just shortly.
Bob, I think you deserve a cowbell for that.
No, that was terrible. I will not. Yeah. No. If cowbell, I will not ring it. No.
It'll cost you a cowbell. How does that sound?
Okay.
You know how Trump was going on yesterday about the wall and the wheel?
Yes. Well, the wheel's medieval, too.
It would probably blow his mind if he knew about the lever and fulcrum and use of rollers, wouldn't you think?
Well, you know, like for figuring out how they built the pyramids and stuff. No, he just asked Ben Carson, and he told him the aliens built it with laser beams, and, you know, sharks with freaking laser beams.
Yeah, that struck my mind when he was talking about that, because I used the lever and fulcrum technique forever and roller technology to move shit with.
Oh, sure, and the block and tackle, and it just general principles of leverage, and sure.
Mm-hmm. And catapults. They could build a catapult on the one side of the wall and just heave the dope over the top of the wall.
Well, I'm a Monty Python fan. I want him to fling a cow. Run away! But I'm funny like that.
There's no sense in wasting a good trebuchet for just, you know, throwing weed over the wall, right? Why not a cow or whatever, right?
Yeah, now wait.
Watermelon.
Isn't the trebuchet different from a catapult?
Yeah, actually it is. It's more specialized.
Is the trebuchet the one that's like a really, really giant, humongous crossbow?
No, it is like a catapult, but it's... you know, more high tech. If you want, I don't know if it's high tech.
It swings totally around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I tried to build one of those with my son when he was a kid. That's hard. There's a lot to it.
Gave you a whole new respect for those Roman engineers, didn't it?
No kidding. Jeez. Yeah, that's for sure. That was a Monty Python skit, I think, wasn't it? They were throwing cows, catapulting cows, weren't they, over the wall or something?
Yeah, the French knights,
right?
Led by John Cleese. I told them we've already got one.
That wasn't the Knights of Knee. That was a different skit.
Those are not the Knights Who Say Knee. Those are the French knights.
Yeah.
you English kniggets with your silly English running with your knees bent. I burst my pimples at you. I fart in your general direction.
Good stuff.
Yep.
And then old Donnie had nothing to say when they showed him a tunnel yesterday.
Well, what would you say, Sparky? I mean, uh-oh, you got me.
Does Donnie resemble the cows that you're near your property who, like, gazed at the new gates? Sparky?
No, my cows are black cows.
I know, but I'm just saying.
All black. Most of them are all black. Some of them have white spots, but.
Well, just the expression, though. Do they look like that? Donnie looks half the time.
Oh, you ever had cows stare at you?
Oh yeah, I have. Yeah.
Well, that's.
He's from Iowa. Come on.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I've talked to cows before. They don't really say much to you.
No, I go out and talk to them every so often, and then get them to all look over at me and stare at me.
Yeah, well, I talk.
And then I get Grady over against the fence, and he all of a sudden he'll let out a big old bark, and they'll go running.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah, I've been known to talk to them if I've drank too much back in Iowa. anyway.
Well, that's a new one. Hey, y'all. No, well, y'all don't say y'all up there. Hey, you guys,
no.
Let's go drink too much and talk to the cows.
There you go. That's more Wisconsin or Minnesotan, but that's okay. That works.
I think.
So what?
No, go ahead.
What did you guys think about that story about that girl who just suddenly escaped that captor in Wisconsin? That was great, wasn't it, that story?
Yeah, I mean, poor thing. I mean, how many eons of counseling is she going to have to get? The guy killed her mom and dad to get to her?
Yeah, that's so bizarre. Yeah, I mean, he looks like he looks like one of those incel dudes, you know, who basically can't get a date, so he's going to go kill everybody else, you know?
Well, give him time, and we'll probably find out that's exactly what he is.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway,
curiously, neither Muslim nor Mexican.
Oh yeah, he looks pretty white to me.
Yeah, that's looking like a
white guy. Donnie's not talking about that one. He's not talking about that one. The brutal, you know, double murderer from Wisconsin. You know. So.
Is he old enough to have been a Trump voter in Wisconsin?
21. Yeah, he would have been. Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, voting. He would have been 19 at the time of the election, at the oldest. Yeah.
Somebody get on that.
Yeah, at the youngest, rather.
Find out his voter registration.
Why not? Yeah. Yeah, you haven't heard much about that guy in Florida who mailed all those bombs to CNN, and you know, who had all the Trump stuff on his van when he was arrested. You know, amazing how stuff just goes down the memory hole, huh?
Just gone.
Well, he's in the federal court system that nobody cares about him anymore.
Right, that's true. Until the trial. But he'll probably, you know, I wonder if the guy will even be fit for trial. He may be deemed to be mentally incompetent. Who knows, though?
Oh, here's something interesting. Just came in from Darlene in Connecticut. Subject line, Telling Snippet from Fear by Bob Woodward. I thought this dovetailed nicely with what you were talking about, what's happening with the government shutdown to precious Ivanka. This is from Woodward's book. Please see the section between the yellow highlighted lines. I wanted Becoming, but got Fear instead, so I'm rolling with it. Local library stuff, and I'm on a waiting list for Michelle's book, which is not available as it's pretty hot read right now. It's after Rents Priebus, the first chief of staff, resigned as Trump blamed him for not galvanizing Republicans in Congress to do away with Obamacare, according to Woodward. That opened the door for General Kelly to come in as chief of staff. Kelly, who told Priebus he'd never do that to him, take his job, but Kelly was actually putting a bug in Trump's ear that he could organize the chaos in the White House better. Lots of backstabbing going on there. I think this shutdown isn't ending anytime soon based on Priebus's retro analysis, and the thought of Ivanka leading the World Bank is frightening. So let me get to the clip here, get it open real quick. Hold on here. Let me see where to, just a sec. Well, I don't have any highlighted lines, Darlene. I'm looking for the word Ivanka. Sorry, silence.
I hope she gets that job, Bob. Otherwise, it's going to ruin your bet that you have for her to become the first female president in 2024.
Well, so would her indictment and being sent to prison. But that's a bet I'm willing
to
lose.
True. Yeah.
Ah, there it is. Months after his departure from the White House, Priebus made a final assessment. He believed he had been surrounded in the West Wing by high-ranking natural killers with no requirement to produce regular work products, a plan, a speech, the outline of a strategy, a budget, a daily and weekly schedule. They were roving interlopers, a band of chaos creators. There was Ivanka, a charming huntress dipping in and out of meetings or the latest presidential business. Jared had the same rights. Theirs was a portfolio without experience. There we go. In some ways, these four, Ivanka, Jared, Conway, and Bannon, had the same modus operandi. They walk into the West Wing, you're not putting your weapon down, Priebus said. I'm not either. Their discussions were not designed to persuade, but, like their president, to win, to slay, crush, and demean. If you have natural predators at the table, Priebus said, things don't move. So the White House was not leading on key issues like health care and tax reform. Foreign policy was not coherent and often contradictory. Why? Asked Priebus. Because when you put a snake and a rat and a falcon and a rabbit and a shark and a seal in a zoo without walls, things get nasty and bloody. That's what happens. That's, okay, that's creepy, Darlene. You're absolutely right. Wow. And meanwhile, I was playing the Trump clip there, and we didn't get to the, I guess, best or worst part, because, there's about a minute left in the clip, but he used that apparently to lash out.
Something that the Democrats should do. And I don't want to give an easy way out of something as simple as this. Not only simple, it's easy and it's going to secure our country. You know, we have a country that is under siege. You could actually, you know, a lot of people don't like the word invasion. We have a country that's being invaded by criminals and by drugs, and we're going to stop it. So I want the Democrats to come back to Washington and vote. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you. Good job yesterday. Appreciate your sales. I appreciate your sales.
I didn't see an invasion at the border.
Oh, you didn't? I know. That's because we had a wall.
Yeah, I didn't see an invasion at the border. Yeah, because we had a wall. Jesus. I know I say that a lot, and I apologize, but wow. It's just breathtaking.
Bob, I've got a question.
Hey, Charlie.
Down in southern Arizona, there's a very large reservation down there that crosses the border and goes into Mexico. What's Trump going to do with his wall whenever it comes to dividing these people's land up?
He really hasn't given it that much thought because, Charlie, it was never a real thing to begin with. It was a It was a device. It was a tool for getting him to stay on point and talk about how awful the immigrants are. So the finer details of, say, bisecting an Indian reservation that exists on two sides of the border, they haven't even thought about that. I mean, you, Charlie, have thought about that more than they have.
Well, you know, it's a shame to do the people like that. I mean, you know, they're this is their home. This is, you know, they're used to wandering back and forth between countries that the Europeans set up. And really, these countries have no meaning to them. And, you know, it's just a shame to see that. And, you know, what really gets me is there's enough people in the United States that are so ignorant about the southwestern part of the United States that it's pathetic. I mean, I have lived in Texas. I've lived in, you know, other parts of the southwestern United States. And, you know, it's people just don't understand, like the English-only people. They don't understand it. There's a hell of a lot of people in this country speak Spanish. And there's a hell of a lot of people that speak Spanish and English fluently. You wouldn't know that they speak Spanish if they were speaking English because they don't have an accent in either language. And, you know, I listen to Trump, and he says that he supports uneducated people, and by God, he's getting them. And I just, you know, it's kind of sickening.
Oh, it's well past kinda in my book. Look, the one thing they did tell him was who his audience was. And it wasn't going to be real hard to figure out because he knew who his audience was back when he was doing professional wrestling and doing The Apprentice. The reason I keep coming back to professional wrestling is that this latest thing has so many damn cliffhangers in it that I can't help. Remember, Linda McMahon is in his goddamn cabinet. And so who's to say that Vince isn't scripting this shit?
Is it wrestling or wrestling? I'm confused.
Well, I mean, we pronounce it wrestling.
Okay.
Deal. Wrestling is a sport that involves things like male eating disorders and wallering around on a mat and wearing little leotardy singlet kind of things. Wrestling is what goes on down to the armory on Saturday nights. When the Blue Marvel takes on the Red Renegade, and people,
thank you for the definition differentiation.
Oh yeah, and you know, and people like Scott's ancient auntie, with her one can of Ham's beer, sits on the edge of her chair, screaming, "Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!" You know, right.
Beat him in the head with a chair.
Yeah, my grandmother, whose 125th birthday it is today, was absolutely convinced that wrestling was real.
You mean with people breaking chairs over each other and
right.
All that, they don't realize that
breakaway chairs. Yeah. Oh,
and the blood capsules and, yeah.
Well, they would actually, and I know this for a fact, Lou Albano and the old school guys, they would actually slice their own head for effect. They would keep like a razor or something wrapped up in their thumb. And they would, that's why they're, if you ever looked at pictures of like Ric Flair, their heads are all scarred up, their foreheads. Because if you've ever cut yourself up there on the head, it bleeds like crazy, man. And I guess you really got to be dedicated to it.
Oh, scalp wounds are bleeders.
Yeah. And they would intentionally, you know, just do a little nick. Just for effect. Effed up world we live in, man, but it's true.
Well, what else is happening in Steve's world?
Well, Bob, I guess I need to take on my own man voice.
Lumbago, you know, acting up?
No, you know, we always, when we talk sickness, you always got to put on your old man voice. You know, I told you Karen was feeling poorly. Well, I was feeling kind of poorly.
Yeah, that you did. So. You did. You said she wasn't feeling right sprightly.
Coughing and hacking and all that, you know, you see. So I went to the walk-in clinic today. Come to find out, I turned out positive for the strep throat, so.
Well, are you wearing a mustard plaster? You know, nothing'll protect you against the strep throat like a mustard plaster.
Yeah, I need to. But fortunately, I caught it in time. I don't even feel that bad, so I must just be a carrier. So, amoxicillin is my future for the next 10 days. I knew something wasn't right. You know, I've just been tired for the last few days. So,
well, is that what Miss Karen's got too?
Yep.
Strep. Yeah.
Yep. They said it's going around here in the North Georgia Mountains like crazy. So. And it's highly contagious. I mean, you just breathe on somebody and they can get it. I've been chasing around the house with a can of Lysol. And it did.
At least, but at least it's a bacterial agent. So theoretically, at least, antibiotics will knock it out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Amoxicillin, a simple antibiotic, just squashes it, and you're no longer contagious within 24 hours. So it's easily remedied, but. I knew something wasn't right with me. I know it was on tilt, but I don't want to make the show about me. I just be careful out there, you know. And, you know, I heard my friend Tracy, and she sounded bad. And I was like, man, I don't want to let this progress. I better go to the clinic, see what the hell is going on, because I just don't feel right. So it's good to, you know, err on the side of caution.
Ounce of prevention, pound of cure, and all of that.
This old fart's feeling good. Good for this old fart. Yeah, because you keep vaping, man. I'll be with you soon, man. I'm going to catch up. Yeah, I don't know what I was vaping today. I just kind of got a mix going on.
So what? Do you get like little cartridges, Sparky, or...?
No, it's actual real green bud.
Oh, okay, but you just put it in a vape device.
Grind it up, put it in a EB Titan 2. I got a card, and I'm not ashamed to say it. Dry herb vaporizer.
Okay, it's yes.
Legal. It just heats it up, and you suck the vapors out of it.
It's legal. I don't mean to walk on you, Duncan, but I'm excited about this. I got a card. Had to go to the health department to get it. I can get THC oil now, legally, if I can find it.
No, but it's not legal in Georgia, is it?
Well, if I have it and get pinched with it, it's my get-out-of-jail-free card. Didn't I show you a picture of the card, Bob?
Yeah, you did. But I thought we were dealing with the fact that Georgia is a weed-not-legal state.
Right, but if you have it, you have an affliction, like peripheral neuropathy or chronic pain or PTSD.
The phantods, infotago.
Or as Rick would say, stomach medication. Yeah, it's legal to possess it if you can have it in the proper vial. But good luck getting it. So
are you limited in how much you can have?
Yeah, I believe it's up to like 4 ounces of oil, which would be plenty if I could find it.
4 ounces of oil?
Yes.
Jesus Christ, you could get the entirety of North Georgia high on 4 ounces of oil.
I believe that. Now, I have to research. Don't quote me. It may be 0.04 or something. This is off the top of my head, but just you can Google Georgia THC oil law, and it'll tell you. I mean, it's all there.
Maybe 4 grams.
And the legislature is coming into effect next month, and they're going to make it where we get dispensaries here, which would only make sense, you know.
You really think those Republicans are going to do that?
I doubt it. They don't do anything that makes sense. But they at least gives me some hope, you know.
You got hope. Meanwhile, we got Patrick Morrissey here.
We got Brian Kemp.
Yeah, in almost level West by Cold Trump Virginia stand. This is the guy who actually made a centerpiece of his campaign for Senate the fact that he was going to take everybody's health care away from them because freedom. But, you know, we're supposed to get medical marijuana this summer. And so Governor Jim Justice, the sitting, and I do mean sitting, governor of West Virginia, told the legislature he wanted them to solve the riddle of a banking solution so people could, you know, deal with the money they make from medical marijuana. And so enter Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, who said, he's not a West Virginian. He sounds like this. We conclude that notwithstanding West Virginia law, marijuana's federal status as a controlled substance makes it very difficult for medical marijuana businesses to operate in a way consistent with federal law, and that by extension, financial institutions providing services to these entities may be at risk of federal, civil, or criminal liability. Nevertheless, we are aware of no federal enforcement actions for services related to the marijuana industry in states where medical marijuana is legal and safe harbors against federal enforcement have existed for years. Jesus.
That sounds like a bunch of mishmash.
Yeah, fearmonger. But the feds aren't doing anything. And there is an answer. There is an answer, and I'm pretty sure if it hasn't been proposed already, it will be proposed, and that is to let credit unions handle the weed money. I mean, they've obviously solved the problem in California, haven't they, Sparky?
Sure. Oregon, too.
Oregon, Washington.
Washington State, D.C. area.
I think so. We probably got all three of the states handle it the same way.
So are we talking about the banking issue? What are we talking about here, guys?
I never asked the people at the pot shop.
Oh, it's not been solved. They're all cash. Banks will not deal with legal pot companies in California. Very few will. It's a major problem.
Yeah, because you got that split between the Fed and the bank. Well, exactly. I heard tell, and I don't know, especially with Trump, over the whole show. They're going to try to take it from a different schedule to a schedule one down to a two or three, saying that at least has medical benefits. So,
I know credit unions are highly regulated by the federal government too.
Well, they are, but there's a wrinkle. I'm not entirely sure what the wrinkle is, but I read a little bit on it the other day. I'm going to try to educate myself further.
It's probably that they don't have a federal charter.
That might be it.
Yeah.
And that they can be empowered on a state basis.
I don't know. My credit union was NCUA. I sat on the board for like 10 years. It's been a long time since we dissolved my credit union.
But as far as I can tell, the real sticking point is the fact that it remains a Schedule I narcotic. One, it's not a narcotic, and two, it is not on the same par as goddamn heroin or fentanyl. Because, you know, it's pot.
Well, all I know is they've solved the tax issue.
Well, I can't understand.
Because they do collect it.
Now, what's that, Charlie?
What I can't understand is, you know, you get these people out here, the ones that worship the Kenneth Copelands and the John Hagees and the Joyce Meyers and all that, and, you know, they think that there is some kind of difference between alcohol and pot. And really, you know, other than the way that it reacts on your body, I mean, basically alcohol displaces oxygen and get you plastered, and, you know, pot has THC in it that works on your nervous system. I mean, they're all the same. I mean, what's the difference? But they say that it's okay to have alcohol legal and to outlaw pot, and I just can't understand that. It just doesn't make good sense.
None whatsoever. And, Bob, to answer your question, I just posted a link. You can have up to 20 ounces of low THC oil.
THC oil.
That's the thing. You might need a gallon of it to even, you know, raise your eyebrow. That's probably the catch, you know. But I just posted a link if you want to look at it in the chat room.
Well, I just scrolled down on the Gazette article I was looking at, And yeah, the idea is to make credit unions, to pass a statute that makes credit unions a state depository. And if you do that, theoretically, in West Virginia at least, you can put your weed money from your weed business in the credit union.
Now, I don't know how many of you know about the problems that marijuana businesses have. They cannot deduct any business expenses. So they can't deduct their rent. They can't deduct their payments to their employees. They can't deduct anything that has a direct relationship to their, you know, business of trafficking in illegal substances, which, you know, puts a real crimp on the ability to turn a profit. You got to do a huge markup then. And, you know, you also can't, if they can't have bank accounts, which a lot of them don't, how do you pay payroll taxes? Because that's done electronically these days, you know? And my understanding is there are locations, at least here in California, like IRS offices, at least when the government was still in operation, pre-shutdown, where you could actually go and pay your cash, pay your payroll tax deposits in cash.
Well, see, so, one of the angles is that the last four spending bills that have been put through the Congress and the White House have stipulated that not a single penny can be used by the Department of Justice for the purpose of prosecuting pot businesses in legal marijuana states.
Right, as long as they're following the requirements of the state law.
Right. That's not a long-term fix, though, because you never know when some maniac's going to get hold of the government or maniacs get hold of the Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III, you know, wanted to get rid of that, you know, wanted to go have DOJ go after pot businesses and wasn't able to because of Congress, you know.
Right, because they had tied his hands before he got his hands on the AG's office. We're about halfway through the program, and let me just mention, sorry, I have to do this, that we're at $435 to finish the week, $435 to knock out the week and finish off bill paying, and thus far, an hour and a half into the program, we are at zero. So there's that, but I just mention it and move on, you know, PayPal button, head on .live. If you want to just go to PayPal, use bobkincaid@gmail.com and click that whole sending to friends and family thing, and it'll knock out the fees. So, you know, that's where that is. But our legislature is in session, and as a consequence, it's a little nervous around here. I mean, because, they will, as sure as God made little green apples and they'll give you the runs if you eat too many, fuck something up, because, of course, it's a wild-eyed Republican legislature.
They're going to go after right to work again? Or go try to go for right to work?
Oh, no, we've got it.
Oh, you got it, okay.
Yeah, prevailing wage is gone, right to work is in place. And so, you know, yay them.
So what else is on the Koch brothers wish list for West Virginia, Bob?
Further consolidating the ability of the natural gas industry to abuse the hell out of landowners in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there will be some fetus fetish bills along the way. Because remember, we passed that fucked up constitutional amendment here that declared that, I don't know, every sperm is sacred or whatever it was. So, yeah.
Hey, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Gavin Newsom's speech?
No, I didn't. I heard parts of it on the Green News Report. That's about it, though.
Oh, man. It's good. It's good.
Well, he's
Then I hear one of his first things he's proposing is increase family medical and leave act or parental leave act.
Well, that's good. I mean, I wonder if he's going to do anything about the health care beside, you know, like Medicare for All or whatever for California, you know, or
universal. He hasn't made any presidential rumblings, has he?
No.
Not this election. I think it's he's got elected. No. I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, he couldn't. No.
I think he wants to make a name as a governor before he ever starts thinking about that.
Well, he's thought about it, but doesn't think he has the experience. But then again, after Geezer came along, you know. And then he's got
four young kids to deal with, too.
Mm.
One of his little boys came up to the podium while he was giving his speech. He interrupted.
Oh, geez, that's funny. Kids will do that.
You know, it's one of the funny things about this state is that, anybody who listens to this program knows what a mess this state is. We haven't figured out a way to have legal weed, but by God, we got in a drop-dead hurry to figure out a way to have legal gambling. And this session, they're going to try to, and you know what I mean when I say Keno, the television screen, and every 2 minutes there's a new game, and it's, you know, however much you pay for a game. I've never played it. But you can only do it in the gambling dens and in like bars and stuff that have ABC licenses.
They put it right in a bar.
Yeah. Well, now, there's apparently going to be a bill here in this state to make it okay to put it in gas stations and anywhere that you can, you know, anywhere you can buy a scratch ticket or a Powerball ticket can have a Keno outlet too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do that here in California too.
So, well, it shouldn't be that hard if it's a matter of making money for the state, which obviously gambling does.
Well, the sad thing about gambling is that when it comes into a state, they always say, "Well, you know, we're going to have gambling because we're going to dedicate this money to the veterans."
Yeah.
And we're going to dedicate this money to the poor little scooch Aaron. And so they do, and then they say, well, gosh, that means we don't have to raise any tax revenues for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it winds up being a net loss.
Right. Right. Hmm.
Most of the Indian casinos here play a good neighbor policy with the town they're involved with. They do all kinds of things for the community.
Hey, quick update. We're off and started now. Thanks very kindly to Anatole, who took us down to 420. Took us down to 420. See what we were talking about, the topic, and Anatole's paying attention. Took us down to 420, and then I got a note from Ralphs saying, I'll kick in $10. If it's met, I'll put in $10 more. So if somebody wants to jump in with a $10 bill, Ralphs will turn it into 20. So that would go a long way. Hey, thank you very kindly to our buddy Texas T. We are now down to 410. So if somebody answers Ralphs's challenge, that'll take us down to 380, and we'll be on our way. Thanks, Texas T, and thanks to Anatole, and thanks to Ralphs for the challenge. Thank you very much indeed.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bob. It sounds like you need some help here this week, so I will do what I'll call the sharpshooter challenge. I've got a pool tournament this weekend.
Oh, is this the out of town tournament?
Yeah, this is
the big
near Simi Valley, not far from Simi Valley, Moore Park. And I play the first nine-ball game is at like 4 in the afternoon. So I'm going to drive up from the OC about 77 miles to get to the pool hall. And we're going to stay at a Marriott in Simi Valley Saturday night. But the first match is the nine-ball. If we win our match, all we have to do is win one match. The team splits $1,250. So eight of us.
Holy cow.
Makes for about $155 each. That'll just about pay for my hotel room on Saturday night. And then on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, I have an eight ball match. If we win the first round at nine, Then the second round is at 2, which is the money round. And again, if we win the that second match, then we get 1250 split. This time divided just 7 ways because we only have 7 people on our 8-ball team. So it should be fun.
Wow. You know what? I'm realizing more and more that it's a good thing we didn't take the cover off of that pool table down in Georgia, because I wouldn't have had a shirt to wear coming back.
Oh, you know, Bob, I played on that table. And that was the funniest frickin' thing. It's so light, and it was, like, not level. So all the balls drifted off to the left side, and they leaned up against the rail after you hit them.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I played a game with Star up there after you left. You and Agnes had cleared out and ran into Kathy and Molly driving out of their place. So we got a quick picture of the four of us. So, yeah, that table was.
But I thought
that was not worthy of a tournament. A tournament, let's just say.
I thought playing on unlevel tables was kind of your bailiwick.
Well,
not that unlevel.
No, not that unlevel. No. I mean, it's one thing to have like a table effect with the balls rolling a weird way, or you know, going towards the pocket and doing like a 90-degree turn left or right. Okay, that's one thing. But the whole table was just, you know, it was hard to play. But it was fun. We played a couple of quick games. So the challenge here, you have some challenges on the table, right?
Well, not anymore, because Dave from Talibandiana just jumped in and said we had to put our pit bull Duchess down New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Sorry to hear that. Sending this along in her memory and meeting Ralph's challenge. So let's see. That takes us down to 4. Ralph's challenge takes us down to 380. That's awesome. Thank you very kindly, Dave. And Dave reminds us that his challenge remains on the table for a brand new subscriber at $10 a month. He will double the first month's subscription. So we're at 380.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do here, Bob. Let me throw in 25, and if somebody meets that, I'll double that to 50. Okay.
All right. That's cool. Thank you. That's the sharpshooter. Challenge. The sharpshooter challenge.
That's
for this.
The sharpshooter challenge, and hopefully, if I win the tournament, maybe there'll be more next week. Let's just say
that'll take us down to 355. If somebody meets it, that takes us down to 330, and then you're gonna take it down to 305. Have I got that right?
Sounds good.
Okay, so now we're looking for somebody to kick in $25 to meet Rick's challenge. Thank you, Rick. And hey, best of luck, man. Best of luck.
Thanks. It's going to be fun. I've already played one time in the Tournament of Champions with the 9-ball team. And so the whole team has the experience of having played in it. I didn't actually play
that. So if you've got 8 people on the team, is that 8 different people playing a game of 9-ball?
No, what you do is you choose the 5 that you're going to use. What happens is one team puts up the first player, and then the other team matches it. And so what it amounts to, Bob, is you have different players, different skill levels. And some teams have a strategy of putting their best player up first, okay? Like it might be a high-level player like a 6 or a 7. Usually you don't get higher than an 8, okay, as far as skill levels. The lowest levels that you see are usually 2s. Sometimes you see 1s, but usually 2s. But our lowest players are maybe 3s. I'm a 4.
The lack of a zero level lets me out of competitive billiards, apparently.
Yeah. And the way you do it, Bob, is there's 5 matches, and the total sum of your skill levels cannot exceed 23. Okay, so if you put like 2 of your level 6s up, then you basically can only use a total of 11 points as far as skill levels for the next 3 matches, which can be tough because we have a lot of 4s and 5s on our team. So that just gets you.
You're an 8, though. You're an 8, though, right?
No, I'm a 4. I'm a 4.
See, I was going for the bad humor there.
No,
you're an 8.
I'm an 8. There you go. So that's the idea. So some people put like low players up to start with, and then, you know, low versus high or whatever, or some, you know, ideally what you do, Bob, is you have like a level 2 player that can shoot way above their you know, their skill level. They should be maybe a three or a four, but
a ringer?
Considered a two. Yeah, ringers. Yeah, yeah. What you do is you want to have ringers, essentially, if you can. I mean, honest ringers, okay? Because this is all computerized.
A two who gets occasionally lucky.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Like a blind hog sometimes finds the acorn, right?
Right, exactly.
So the team we played last time in the Tournament of Champions, they had like, they did a high-low strategy. They had like about maybe three level two players, and they had like two level eight players. So they, you know, they threw the level two at us, and we countered with I think we led with our level six player, and they threw a two against that. And so the significance of that is the level six player has to hit like 45 balls in before the other player gets 11. Okay. So you can't think, you know, so you essentially start like 34 balls behind as a higher level player. And that can kind of sometimes put
Okay, so that's the handicapping system, sure.
That's the handicapping system, exactly. Exactly. So if their gamble works and their level two player beats a level six, they've gotten points for the match more than we have, and they've also eliminated one of our best players. So then they can throw their level eight player next against somebody else, you know, and we don't have a level eight to counter. So it's kind of, there's a lot of strategy involved, and having done it once, I think we're ready to to be more strategic this time. We weren't strategic enough last time. I didn't even get to play because the match was decided after four matches. They got to 51 points before the before the fifth match was to have started. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll win and then get the money and then on to the regionals.
Well, Steve and Ms. Karen and little Cletus and little Twiggy just knocked down 10 of the 25. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. So that means we need 15 more to meet your challenge, Rick, and we'll be
great.
And then we'll only be $5 away from breaking the $300 barrier, which will be a big damn deal.
Awesome. So what's up with you in this
and,
weekend,
and, that, and by the way, that is Steve's strip $10 challenge. So Steve wants somebody to meet his 10.
Okay. Cool.
And if that happened and we got the other 15, we'd definitely be under $300, which would be tremendous. No, you were asking, what's that, Rick?
Oh, what are you up to this weekend? You going to do any major cooking or anything?
I got to get some grubbies on and crawl around on the ground and figure out what happened with that piece that rusted out. Jim in Illinois told me that if I could send pictures, there might be some sort of a remedy. I don't know though, because I don't know how it attaches to the bottom of the thing, but. I'm severely bummed out, but it's also going to be snowy and kind of miserable. So, I'm gonna find something to work on in the house or whatever. There's, it's just a tough time of year to really. This is 125 years ago when my grandmother was born on this date. This was the time of year when you did your harness mending.
Right.
Go out and get, you work on your saddle and your traces for your mules and stuff like that.
Bob, you could always work on your Gulfstream 5.
I could.
We
just close the hangar doors and turn on that kerosene jet heater, kind of like what Sparky has with the propane there.
Spit shine the Lamborghini.
Spit shine the Porsche, really.
Your red Barchetta, if you have one of those.
No, but we could spit shine the Porsche Targa Carrera 4 Turbo. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wipe it down with a nice soft diaper and, just make sure there's no scratches anywhere. And that maybe leather condition the interior. Yeah, that would be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, but
yeah,
you need a Rivian. That's what you need.
Wait, was that Devin?
Yes.
Hey, welcome, man. Long time no talk. How's the anthracite stove holding up? Y'all haven't had a hell of a lot of hard weather either, have you?
No, I haven't. Haven't turned the thing on this year. Of course, we didn't have any money to buy coal anyway, so just been going on the old having a mortally ill person in the house, so Ma and Power can't turn the power off during the winter.
Fine folks, Ma and Power. They would if they could, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear somebody's sick.
Well, I mean, it's me. I mean, come on, but, you know.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're sick, Devin. I mean, you know, goddamn, you know.
Always been mortally ill, so,
yeah.
You know.
Believe me, I understand. But now it's, you know, haven't gone through near as much propane back here ever since we got the little fix in from our buddy Tom in the Bay Area. Instead of having to buy those one-pound cylinders, this is a frame, you turn it, and it's got a spigot on it, and you turn your 20-pounder upside down, and you can fill the little refillable cylinder, and makes life considerably simpler. But if you're not burning coal yet, that's a net win, Devin.
No, but they had to go up to Ruby today and go see the geneticist who can't seem to get any testing approved.
Well, you know, that sort of segues into another story. You know, while we're out here wondering about, you know, talking about the shutdown and the latest overt wickedness done by these freaks in the White House, it, suffice to say that they're always working on some other nastiness in the background. And they say they have created, and, you know, this is one of those share the story out so that they can't get away with it in the dark kind of things. They say they've come up with a plan for him to be able to turn Medicaid into block grants to the states without having any congressional approval of it. We know what those block grants mean, right? Instead of an open-ended program whereby we fund health care for the working poor and the abjectly poor, and children and new mothers and things like that, the administration would just give a fixed set of money to a state and say, hey, when you're out of money, you're out of money. Too bad. And so that incentivizes states to keep people off of the Medicaid rolls. And you can bet your ass the first people they're going to aim at is, billable Rick, California.
Right. Yep.
According to the Politico report, administration sources say the Trump administration is drawing up guidelines on what could be a major overhaul of Medicaid in some states instead of traditional open-ended entitlement. I hate that word. States would get spending limits along with more flexibility to run the low-income health program, yada, yada, yada. And what they mean by flexibility, it would be possible then for Republican governors to use it to buy things like a home in the country and a river of beer over their grandmother's paisley shawls, kind of like they did with the housing assistance program in, say, Louisiana, where they didn't actually house many people and instead bought cars.
Wonderful. For some reason, I'm not surprised, yeah. But I don't see that surviving a legal challenge, frankly, Bob. Although you never know with the Supreme Court.
Well, and again, as Ron pointed out early in the program, you will not hear a peep from the Republicans who every time Obama tried to do something with an executive order was met with, oh, he's a tyrant. He wants to be a new emperor of America.
King.
He's going to be a king. A Muslim usurper king.
Mm-hmm.
There's Uncle John.
Yeah. Well, hey, I've got some good news. Got a note from Darlene in Connecticut. from the sorority of Leans, with Tracy as our queen. And Tracy's kind of, you know, with Tracy being kind of laid up, too, in her honor. And also of the Order of the Reverse Oreo Cookie, I'll meet the remainder of Billable Rick's challenge at $15, and then I'll put a $100 challenge on the table.
Oh, my goodness.
My goodness. There you go, Bob. Wow. What a challenge that is.
And that has then been met by Labor Man out in New Mexico, who said, here's $25 to cover Rick and Steve, and now a $100 challenge for a let's impeach the motherfucker again challenge. There was great enjoyment of Chris's impeach the motherfucker challenge of a couple of nights ago. So if Labor Man and Darlene's two challenges are met, we're done. We're done. We've made it.
Outstanding.
So there's there's $200 because 25 of it was to meet. Yeah. So there's $200 on the table. That'll wipe it out for the week, and we'll be done. Thank you, Labor Man, and thank you to Darlene of the Sorority of Leans and the Order of the Reverse Oreo Cookie Society. Rocks, as in Tracy Rocks.
Tracy Rocks.
Sorry.
Is that, well, okay.
Is that Tracy?
That's not, so much Tracy rocking as Tracy coughing.
Well, hey, Tracy.
Hey, you guys.
We'll try not to make you laugh, okay?
I just cannot shake this fucking cough.
Karen's had it for 5 days, man.
I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the radio, but just out of curiosity, you don't happen to take an ACE inhibitor for blood pressure, do you?
No, I do not. Surprisingly so, that since I'm so overweight.
And Tracy, do you got a cool doctor that will give you some decent cough syrup? That makes a difference, man.
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay, has that helped you at all?
Around here, they pass out those godforsaken Teflon pearls.
Yeah, they're awful. You might as well throw them out the trash. I'm talking Hicodin, the good stuff. That's the only thing that'll knock a cough like Tracy just had and Karen has. That's the only thing that'll squash it.
Yeah, good codeine cough syrup.
Yep.
Oh, but we don't want you to become an addict.
An addict? Yeah, that's how. No, you can't do that. But that will work, and it'll allow you to get some sleep. And unless you get some sleep, you're never going to recuperate. Nonsense.
About the pneumonia issue, there are two vaccines for the pneumonia. There's Prevnar 13, and then there's Pneumovax 21. I think it's 21. 20-something. Anyways.
And how do you feel about those? Do they work?
Well, I haven't had the pneumonia since I've had them.
Well, they must work then.
They're rated for, like, long periods of time. Like, if you get one in your, say, your 30s, you don't have to get a booster until you're, like, Medicare age.
Teflon pearls. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, the thing is, those damn Teflon pearls will make you a little crazy, too.
It's supposed to, the theory is it's supposed to numb your throat and your lungs, but they don't work. They don't do shit. You might as well just put Clovil in a jar of whiskey like you said the other night. Same thing.
But the thing is, if you can't do the whiskey, you can, I mean, even if you make a real, if you really, really lean on the honey into a cup of hot tea, and steep the cloves in the boiling water there.
And you're talking cloves. That's the kind of cloves you'd put in a Christmas ham,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, I'm not talking about a clove of garlic.
No, I know.
Anybody who's ever seen Marathon Man, you know, that terrifying dental scene with Laurence Olivier and Dustin Hoffman, mm-hmm. where he's digging around and goes, oh, no, I will not drill that tooth. That tooth is dead. I will drill this tooth. And then he takes a little bit. No, it's oil of clove. It will make it numb. Yeah. It works.
Tracy sounds just like Karen, man. I hate to hear people that I love suffering, man.
Oh,
sucks.
Speak, that's so sweet. No, I just...
It does, man.
It's been... I mean, and it's crazy. I'll be fine for like an hour or so, and mm-hmm. I won't cough. And the next thing you know, I'm coughing up a fucking lung.
Yeah, and when the hiking wears off, you're just, yep. I get it, man.
It's... Hold on a second, you guys. I'll be right back.
Okay. But here anymore, it's hard to get decent cough syrup. They're all fucking running around scared to death with their hair on fire, you know? You could hack up a lung in their office. They wouldn't give a shit. Here's some Teflon pearls. Good luck to you. If this runs out, there's some NyQuil you can get behind the counter. And try
and,
that.
You know, by the and NyQuil's just bad taste in liquor.
Yeah, it doesn't work. If you've got a good pharmacist, he can give you some stuff that you could sign for. But still, it's weak. It's not what you need if you got pneumonia, you know?
No. Well, those, hey, Devin, both of those vaccines, they cover the same pneumonia?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Devin. I didn't mean to step on it, brother. I'm curious about this.
They have some, well, they have some overlaps, but there are ones in each one that the other doesn't have. So you have to get both of them. You best to start out with the Pneumovax and then... you know, like, wait at least a month or two and then get the other one, the Prevnar 13. I did it the wrong way around and did the Prevnar 13 first, and I got a big nasty pustule on my arm for about 2 months, but... For that, I think I had one of those strains living in my sinuses. So
kind of like the way the spirochetes live in Julius Caesar's head.
There's something that lives in his head.
Yeah, spirochetes.
Yeah, whatever it is, it needs to go.
It must be brain-eating amoebas in there or some shit.
Well, no, spirochetes are the little critters that are produced and eat up your brain when you have untreated syphilis and it goes to tertiary neurosyphilis.
Sounds like Donnie to be.
Ding. I mean, that no, just for the like just for the fun of it, John Bredevo, look up tertiary neurosyphilis and see if it doesn't sound a lot like the President of the United States.
Shit. I would have no doubt, Bob. I don't know what we're facing nowadays. Yesterday, he was guaranteed he was going to do all this shit. I'm sorry I'm late. I had to go pick up my son's girlfriend. And,
no, we heard you were on an errand.
Yeah. She had to run into a deer last night and messed up her car, so I had to go fetch her up. So.
Yeah, sometimes the deer run into you, John. Don't be mad
yes,
at
them. Yes, they
do. I mean, that shit happens. They're like rodents.
I've been attacked by suicidal deer. Yeah. I absolutely agree.
There are
agree.
Kamikaze deer out here, I'm yep. telling you.
They will flee into you. I've seen it.
I just had my truck repaired. One ran right into the side of my truck when I was doing about 60 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, bam, and all the airbags went off. And that's what it was. A deer hit the side panel of the truck and set off everything. So.
The more important question is, do you have deer sausage now?
Ah, well, hanging up in the backyard. we're not going to let that get away.
And, of course, you had comprehensive insurance. Please tell me you had comp insurance.
Well, it wasn't me. It was my son's girlfriend. The car is paid for. They have a tight budget, so no, all she had was liability.
Oh, Uncle John, comp insurance is so cheap, brother.
Oh, man.
You're talking at $2 or $3 a month. Anybody can hear my voice. I'm in this industry. Get comp insurance.
It's the collision that busts your ass, isn't it, Steve?
Right. Yes. But comp is... is cheap. Yeah. That's like if a tree limb falls on your car, or if you happen to leave your keys in the car and somebody jumps in it and steals it. It covers all that shit, you know?
Does it cover your car if you've, like, got it locked up and somebody bashes the window in and steals your shit?
Now, I don't know about that, Bob. You're getting into other areas. But it covers any act of God.
And God. God did it.
So. Yeah. Like, if you hit a cat, hell, you hit a cat can cause $1,000 worth of damage now.
I'm telling you. This took out her whole front end there. All the plastic grill front. I got the headlight back in position and kind of wired it back up in there with some baling wire. I ain't shitting you. And same baling wire, took it up to hold up a piece of the bumper. And radiator looked all right, so I drove it down to the end of the street today. And when I did, I passed the DPS, Department of Public Safety, a lawman down here. And it's a dead-end street, so I was wondering where he was going. So when he's coming back out, I flagged him down. And I asked him, I said, well, look, here's what happened. Can she drive this vehicle without getting pulled over? And he checked the lights and the turn signals, and they worked. He said, you're good to go.
But please, folks, I don't care if you got a 1990 Escort. Get comp insurance. I mean, it'll pay for itself. Trust
yeah,
me.
Well, that's...
it would have in this case.
Yeah, most states that require insurance, they require liability and uninsured motorist.
That's it. Right. They don't push comp at all.
But the other thing is your
bank usually requires it.
Comp doesn't cost that much, and you're a damn fool if you don't buy the underinsured motorist.
Exactly, Bob.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because if you're toddling around and there's any kind of value on your automobile whatsoever,
and Joe Blow's got a $10,000 cap on it,
luckily,
I had full
Jim Bob Maggot hat, rear end you with his 2010 coverage. You're gonna need that underinsured motorist coverage.
Right. That, or you got to go after Jim Bob, who probably doesn't have two nickels to rub together.
Oh hell no!
Yeah.
No, his all of his earthly wealth is tied up in his meth collection. You know, this is a fine vintage meth from an avocado colored bathtub at the Dewdrop Inn. Yeah.
Who needs under collision when I can have this fine method of multicolored meth?
Yeah. Well, normally their meth lab is in the car.
Jesus Christ. I know.
How the hell you been, Bob?
I've just been kind of toddling along and counting down every day till winter ain't here anymore. I tweeted the other day that one of these days, and I'm getting a little old, but one of these days I'm going to spend January and February in freaking Australia so I can find out what it feels like not to utterly despise January and February.
There you go. Well, either that or just move farther south, Bob.
Well,
our winters down here only last a couple of days.
Well, that's true.
And then they go away, and then they come back in another week or so.
Yeah, I got a message saying 70 in Austin.
Yep. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yesterday, I think we were pretty well close to 78 here.
Well, I mean, you got palm trees and shit down there, right?
Oh, yeah. Just like the tropics, baby.
Get out of the Appalachians, though, Bob. I'm telling you. It's cold as shit here, too.
Yeah.
Georgia's supposed to be the Sun Belt. We're supposed to get snow tomorrow.
I'm sitting here in my Christmas sweater. Yeah. I was so tickled. I got for Christmas something that I've been watching for a long time. I got the authentic sweater, the reproduction of the sweater that Jeff Bridges wore in The Big Lebowski.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to let my hair grow out. I'm going to grow out my chin beard and work on my dude.
There you go.
Oh my God! Did you guys see a speech at the Golden Globes? Wasn't that great?
Oh, it was beautiful.
Wasn't it? He even worked in a Buckminster Fuller reference there.
Yeah, that doesn't happen just every day. Hey, let me ask, and just a reminder: there's $200 worth of challenges on the table, and we got about 51 minutes. Courtesy of Darlene, the sorority of Leans, the Tracy's Rocks Society, and Laborman in New Mexico,
And that'll finish the week, and it will be a community made miracle if we can do that.
A miracle.
Yes.
We need a miracle.
We need a miracle every day, just like the Grateful Dead used to sing.
Bob, I wanted to ask Rick and Duncan a question after you're finished.
Okay, because I just wanted to ask John.
Yeah.
Have you seen Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger eating future king of America's new beard?
I've seen that. What
now,
is that?
Granted, this is the shallow and catty portion of the program, but jumping, gee.
Oh, man. Who's he trying to look like? Cousin Jed?
But what's this thing where you shave? What's this thing where you shave off the part in the middle where it looks like a fucking Romulan's helmet or something? There's our Star Trek reference.
I don't know what that's about. Slipped with the razor or what? I don't know. It looks pretty ridiculous to me. I think he's trying to disguise himself so nobody recognizes him as Ted Cruz.
Or maybe he wants to. I don't know. I just had this vision of his daughter saying, "Mommy, we don't have to hug Daddy, do we?" No, baby, no.
That's right. No. You don't have to.
Can we hug Mr. Can we hug Mr. O'Rourke instead? He has very clean teeth.
Mr. Beto is a nice man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I don't know what that man's trying to do. I swear he's trying to hide himself. But yeah, I seen him down here at the border. Yes, we had a visit from the Donnie.
And neither, like I said, neither Rafaelito nor John Cornhole were wearing like body armor, exoskeleton, Kevlar vest or anything to protect them against
the. You would expect that in a war zone like that.
Well, you kind of would.
Emergency that is just overrun with MS-13. It's just bravery is all I can say.
They can hide from those evil brown people. Good gosh,
did
man!
Did you see them?
Exposed.
Did you see the Border Patrol take him over there and show him the tunnel? Hey, see the tunnel here? That's what they think of walls around here. See that?
How about the fence that had a big section sawed out of it? You know, with just
But I love the excuse for that. You see, the purpose
of
the fence. You
kilos through that damn thing.
Well, but you see, the purpose of that, Steve, is to. You know, it's not just to prevent people coming across. It's to slow them down so we can catch
slow
them while they're
down.
Sawing.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to catch them with those massive vehicles, those massive, big, huge. They're monstrous. They have big tire. Did you hear that shit? It's pitiful listening to this man.
You know what?
Somebody let
that poor syphilitic son of a bitch watch Mad Max, and he thought, and they told him it was a documentary from the goddamn border. Because, you know, they got the vehicles with the cages and the big wheels and the zoom.
Zoom, zoom. It's going to get right down there and get them.
And he repeated the turn left to get into America thing.
Yeah,
I don't know if
that's all you got to do, Bob.
Well, that means you got to be dry.
They're going the other way.
Yeah, because.
I don't guess they do that.
It's ridiculous. It's like when they asked the Beatles, "How'd you find America?" John Lennon said, "Turn left at Greenland." You know,
that's
fuck,
it.
Man.
Boy, howdy shit.
Yeah. They're all freaking NASCAR drivers.
Well, of course.
You know,
they are.
The only
They're
Mexican
using the
in
wheel.
You know, the only Mexican in NASCAR got a new job this week with Tony Stewart's racing team.
Oh yeah.
Duncan, I wanted to ask you a question, and Billable Rick too. I heard Gavin Newsom's his inaugural address, and he came right out and said Trump was incompetent. And then within 48 hours, Trump's cutting off all the FEMA aid to the fire victims. Do you really think there was cause and effect there?
No.
I don't know. Who
he's
knows?
Got a hard on for California to begin with.
Yes, he does.
He didn't like Jerry Brown. He doesn't like Gavin Newsom either.
If he gets away with this Medicaid block grant thing, the block grant that California gets for Medicaid will be about $1.19.
Well, thanks for your input. I was curious about that.
Well, I think I think to change a government program from fully funded to a block grant, there has to be legislative action. So, I mean, this cat may think he can do whatever.
We don't need no stinking legislation. We got Donnie, Rick.
Yeah,
that's
it's
it.
Like executive.
That's all we need.
It's executive fiat. That's what he's saying. Oh, there's an emergency at the border. Now, ironically,
that's not going to fly, is it, Rick?
No. I don't think it's going to fly from a legal standpoint, but I think it might be the only way to get the government open quickly, because otherwise this thing could drag longer.
Well, and I'm all for that, because there's too many good people that are suffering.
Well, and among other things,
my prediction was he was going to go ahead and declare that national emergency, go ahead and sign the papers to go ahead, the bill to go ahead and put the government back to work. He gets the same victory on both sides, and then go to court. But the North Ninth Circuit, they're just going to.
Uncle John, we have Horn family right here within our own community that are suffering.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do, buddy.
Furloughed, I think.
And that kind of crap just breaks my heart, you know. Mm-hmm. It really does.
This is
a motherfucker.
And on top of it all, surprising precisely no one, my senior senator from West Virginia, Joe Manchin, today went over to Yeager Airport, the main airport in West Virginia down at Charleston, and at least I think he was at Yeager, and he did a Facebook Live thingy, or WCHS did, and he called on Trump to go ahead and declare the national emergency.
Yeah.
And it's like, Joe, that man wouldn't know how to be a Democrat if FDR, JFK, and LBJ got up out of the dirt
and showed him. Lindsey said, please call an emergency, because Lindsey's ass is in a sling, you know. There's a lot of government workers out in his neck of the woods, too. And mark this. The divorce rate amongst government workers, if you will track this, 6 months to a year from now, it's going to skyrocket. Because what causes more divorces than anything else in a relationship?
Financial
money.
Dispute. That's it, baby.
Motherfucker is just heartless. He doesn't care about anybody except himself, his own ego, and his frickin' wall, which is just a phallic extension of his short, mushroom-shaped penis, man.
That's don't hold back, bitch. Steve. Don't hold back, man.
It's what it is, man.
That's all it is, too.
I'm sorry
if
I'm getting
too
fast, Bob.
No, you're hitting the nail on it. This all wasn't going to be. Right up to the time Ann Coulter and Rush Limbaugh jumped in, Sean Hannity, and everybody proclaimed Downey to be an asshole. Oh, well, we can't have that, so we're going to turn the whole freaking government upside down because of that. That's what you call fascism. That's exactly what it is.
Amen. Amen, John.
It's out of control. Egomaniac that's out of control.
I'm sorry. Awkward silence.
The good news is that I do have my brother who works from Atlanta. And he's a government employee, but apparently, because I called him the other day to hear if he was going to cuss people out. And he's, I think this might be a bad. And he said that the division that he works for somehow is funded. He's funded, so because he's a contractor.
Well,
so
thank goodness.
He is funded. Because he has a buddy that works for the IRS. Who is not getting paid, and his buddy got this letter saying suggestions of what you should do.
Oh yeah,
you
know? Walk dogs. Yeah, I see that.
Oh no, I have another one. They even have the nerve to say they could contact your creditors like Wells Fargo and what have you, and say that you will clean windows or mop the floor. And stuff like that.
What wonderful solutions. I mean, can you imagine all the garage sales that are going to be going on in Fairfax, Virginia this weekend for government employees trying to get rid of their shit?
I would not be surprised if they handed out memos directing government workers to the near plasma donation. Near plasma. That would not surprise me.
But you know what? If everybody starts getting plasma, they'll start paying you less because they have more supply of the plasma.
Man, yeah.
Goddamn free market.
It becomes a point of diminishing returns there, but it's no way to run. Could you run a company like this and have it not go bankrupt?
Well, how much longer before? How long does this go on before our bond rating goes through the floor? Before we get our bond rating downgraded, Rick?
Yeah, right. The debts will not be paid. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Crazy. That's one reason I'm not a federal government employee anymore. I got tired of being held as a political pawn through all these shutdowns. I survived the 95-96 Gingrich shutdown, which actually until now was the longest ever.
Newt Gingrich is the one that politicized the shutdown.
Yeah, he
Ronald
did.
Ronald Reagan is the one that brought it to you, and mm-hmm. then Newt's the one that politicized it.
He delivered
it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Well, when the six-month bond is paying more than the three-year bond, something's fucked up. And last time that happened was back in 2007, and I just seen it happen not too long ago. And there's a word for it, but I can't think of it.
So what's the status of the Postal Service?
Post office is privately funded, Bob. They get separate. Paid. Yeah. They get paid through, like, you know, Amazon packages. Every time
separately funded. Not separately privately, funded. Separately.
No, separately. Well, I'm sorry, Duncan. Thanks for correcting.
Post office is they're paid funded for by your postage you pay.
Right, by your postage. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But see, this is the thing that continues to creep me out. The reason that part of the government is still open is because it was funded through September 30th of 2019. What if these evil pricks are planning on stretching this out and then having a defund crisis for the entire federal government?
We're going to have to take to the streets is the only thing I can think of in a nonviolent way, because we cannot watch our government. You know, our brothers and sisters that work for the government suffer like this. I just can't sit here and do it. I can't. We're gonna have to take to the streets. I mean, I don't know of any other solution. Again,
Sailor
in
Chick,
a non-violent way.
Sailor Chick just
or
said in the
them yeller jackets.
Gilets jaunes.
I'll tell you, when this goes on and people get upon, I had a conversation with a fellow earlier this evening and kind of explained my personal situation. But, my check ended in November. That was the last check my family got. So there's some shit going on that hits home here. And I'm going to have to find the advice of somebody like Billable Rick real quick, because I'm going to have to get me a lawyer, because...
Send him a pack of Juicy Fruit. You get him on retainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm cheap, John.
Yeah.
Well, in the chat room, Sailor Chick just said a couple of minutes ago, I survived the 2013 shutdown, and we lost a lot of people in that when they quit, and that hurt us bad.
Well, that's what's happening to TSA right now. People are quitting, going to look for other employment that pays.
You can't blame them.
No.
One thing that bears remembering out of this, historically. Government civil service was years and decades ago one of the first places where African Americans could get something resembling equal treatment in the workplace, and this led to a lot of people in the African American community going into work for the government. And so what one of the things we found out, and Tracy and I were talking about this earlier today, is that the shutdown is actually hitting the African-American community harder.
Oh, absolutely.
Than it's hitting and that's not to say it's not hitting the community in general hard, but it is taking a greater toll on the African-American community.
Well, it's a form of indentured servitude. Indentured servitude, which is a violation of the 13th Amendment. I don't know why. You can't sue the government, but if you could, God damn it, Rick, wouldn't this be a hell of a case?
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the problem. Strange as it may seem, constitutional amendments are not self-executing. You have to have some way to enforce them. There doesn't appear to be an enforcement mechanism for the 13th Amendment. So what the government employees are relying on is, I think it's the Fair Labor Standards Act that requires timely payment of, you know, all wages and salary. And if you don't, then you get hit with.
Well, I mean, that one group of plaintiffs, Rick, straight up filed a lawsuit claiming 13th Amendment and Fifth Amendment violations.
Well, I think the court will probably prefer to rule on statutory rather than constitutional grounds in the most narrow way possible. And the last time there was a shutdown in 2013, a whole class of so-called essential government employees who were forced to work without pay during the last shutdown or in 2013, they were awarded treble damages. They were awarded their back pay plus treble damages, which, you know, I think ended up being hundreds of millions of dollars. So, yeah, it's illegal either way, whether it's against the Constitution or against statute. But, you know, of course,
there ought to be some kind of financial recourse that these good people can take to recoup their losses, because a lot of them that work for, like, security, government security, if their credit gets ruined, then they're going to lose their job. Well, how the hell are you going to keep good credit if you can't pay your bills?
That's a good point, Steve.
Yeah, like the FBI especially.
Yes.
Oh, but by the way, Sailor Chick in the chat room just said they have yet to collect on those treble damages, Rick.
Damn it. Okay, well, the government must have appealed and tried to raise jurisdictional bars to the suit. Yeah.
Suing the government's like beating your head against the wall, man.
Believe me, I experience it all the time. Yeah. They're MFs, let's just say, since that word seems to be appropriate now in certain contexts, at least with regard to Geezer Disgustus.
Well, you can even say the whole word because, among other things, one of the two challenges that remains on the table for the next 34 minutes is the impeach the motherfucker redux challenge, courtesy of Laborman. So,
he's got to go.
You have to say it right. No. You got to put some more bass in there, mate. It's like motherfucker.
Wait. Okay, let me try again, Tracy. Hold on. Impeach the motherfucker. Is that better?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Is that better?
That'll work.
I have to give you that on that one, homie. It was just like.
Well, I just want Tracy. I think you've got a mission, and you're gonna be are you gonna be writing to the guy over at the Root asking why aren't you not writing a Jesse Lee Peterson article every damn day?
I am because. There is no, because I found there was one small Jesse Lee Peterson article that I found on the Root that was dated 2011, and he was all up in arms because, you know, women had the right to vote. And
shit.
Well, when I heard that one clip, and Agnes hadn't heard it. Agnes hears the program, but she only hears what I'm saying. She doesn't hear the playback or anything. And so she didn't hear the clip the other night when I played Jesse Lee Peterson talking about following old Mars into space and buying some property in space.
Stop it.
And I
damn near peed my pants on that one.
Well, when I sent it to you earlier today, Agnes said, "What?" And I just played it for her, and she said, "Quit it. This is not real." I said, "Oh, this is real. This is so real.
This is so..." So very, because I can't remember, because it was just not that long ago, because remember, I had never heard of Jesse Lee Peterson, and then when I heard him, because you were talking about him, and I just, stupid me, assumed the motherfucker was white, you know? And, you know, unbeknownst to me, you know, he was full of, and how I said it, Uncle Tom Foolery. And I'm just like, holy mother of God. But what that clip you played today's Friday. So that clip you played on Wednesday just superseded. I'm like, Jesse Lee Peterson put his own self to shame when he did that with that clip.
Well, and see, there's so much gold out there to work with, because the one, and I played it months and months ago, the clip where he's sitting there talking to a guy in front of a bar with a whole bunch of bottles of Maker's Mark behind him. Well, the white dude he was talking to was Gavin McInnes of the Proud Boys. And he told Gavin McInnes there ain't no such thing as racism.
Right. Well, you know, like him and my boy, my homie Kanye, you know, because, you know, as black folks, slavery was a fucking choice, dude. You know, we chose to be slaves. And it's like, what was that email that I wrote? What did I say that it was the front to my blackness?
Yes.
That my blackness was wounded? You know, because, you know, I don't come up with clever stuff that often, but every so often I do. And it's like, come to, it's like, yeah, I said, come the fuck on. It's like.
But see, the going into space one killed me because I immediately flashed on Mel Brooks and, you know, the reverb and everything. Jews in space, space, space,
space, space.
And words that I can't use. You know, he's going to follow them. I'm going to follow the white folks into space. I'm being real careful not to do, like, you know, an accent or a dialect or anything.
Okay, well, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'm not as good as dialects as you are. Half a never. Let me get it in my headspace. So, he said the black man is the worst thing that ever happened to the United States. The people of color destroy the United States. We need white people to make the United States good as it should be. We need them white women to always get married and not have children out of wedlock. Now, here's a question. I got a hand clapper here.
Cowbell there. That was a great imitation.
but Tracy, I mean, Tracy clapping back white? Now.
If you want more white babies, what the fuck does it matter if you have an out of wedlock, motherfucker? What the fuck? Seriously.
You're gonna have more babies if you count the ones out of wedlock, actually.
Thank you. I mean, so the babies out of wedlock are, you know, less white? Are they only 3/5 white if they were born out of wedlock?
Apparently so.
Remember, he wants truckloads. Truckloads.
Truckloads. So, I mean, all these little white, as my stepfather would say, fast tail, little gals, or what have you, you know, let's go ahead and get them all impregnated, and doesn't matter. Like I said, I don't see what difference does it make if they have that.
But here's the other thing. Women having lots of babies is straight up out of the handbook of the Third Reich.
Right.
Because they would send a gay man wearing a pink triangle off to the ovens, but a lesbian woman, they'd say, no, you will stay here and you'll breed for the Reich. And we'll look the other way for all the lesbian stuff. But you must have babies for the Vaterland.
You know, it is just, again, it is mind-boggling that I would say intellect, but you know that means that they have some fucking sense. But it's just mind-boggling the stuff that, you know, like the worst thing about people like, you know, Jesse Lee Peterson and what was the other asshole?
Oh, E.W. Jackson.
Yeah, E-Dub. What's up, homie?
Yeah, E-Dub.
They are dangerous. They are the ones that are, there's no racism. White people are spectacular. And.
But I mean, this guy's at odds. He's on the Urban Family Radio Network. Who the hell is listening to that?
Right.
I mean, are Mr. and Mrs. Black America tuning that shit in and going, oh, he's absolutely right?
Uh-oh. No self-respect to black person at all, no. Because, again, when listening to Jesse Lee Peterson, you know, saying that it's black people's fault because of the, you know, all the violence in this country and what's happening, you know, and everything that's wrong with this country is, you know, at the because of people of color. And to hear him talk about that as though white people have never done any fucking thing wrong in this country. And then to think about how many black men were hanging from fucking trees.
Right, which takes us back to the clip I played of Steve King on the floor of the House saying, the ultimate expression of white supremacy was the death of 6 million Jews. and never bothered to mention the Klan or...
Never once mentioned the Klan.
Mm-mm. I mean, that's...
Never once mentioned Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Rosewood, and, you know, where white people absolutely went into these towns and said, we don't want you here, we don't like you here, you have more than us, so we're going to burn them, we're going to burn this shit down and kill everybody if that's, that we can. But, you know, but white people are so great. And so, well, okay, present clearly excluded. I mean, because you guys are fucking fantastic people. Because, you know, I hang out with you. But, you know.
And that's what makes us fantastic.
And fucking tastic, actually. So when I hear this shit, and my blood goes from that initial running cold to, you know, burning hot. And it's just like, because people like him scare me. They absolutely scare me because you got to wonder, at what point in, because apparently Jesse Lee used to be a Democrat at one point, but then he learned the truth. His eyes were open. He was like Paul walking, you know, going to Damascus.
In other words, the check cleared.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly my thought there.
You know, it's not that I'm embarrassed by him because for him, Kanye embarrasses me because people know who Kanye West is. And so when he says stupid shit, you know, it's more detrimental because he has a larger platform than somebody like Jesse Lee Peterson. But you're right. I'm going to have to email my brother that clip of Jesse Lee Peterson and say, bruh, you're going to have to write about this guy because more people need to know about him. Him and EW and that dick who did the eulogy at Aretha Franklin's funeral. We have all these black male preachers who are going around screaming and, you know, saying that, you know, black women ain't shit, that, you know, we're hoes, you know, we need Jesus, we need black men in our lives and stuff like that. Look, you know what? I don't need a black man in my life. I'm doing perfectly fine. But, but back when I swung that way, I would have been more than happy to have been in a relationship with a strong black man. But when you have, you know, we make up 13% of the population in this country, and how much and what percentage of our black men are in prison, or undereducated, or gay, or what have you? You know, the odds were against me. As a matter of fact, I had a better chance of being hit by lightning or in a terrorist attack than marrying a black man. Yeah, okay. So it's like, you know, these preachers that preach this toxic bullshit and okay, I'm about to lose my shit. But it's just, it's exhausting. It's hard enough dealing with the bullshit coming from white people. You know, it's hard enough dealing with the bullshit from people like, from, you know, Julius Geezer and, you know, and Ann Coulter and Tommy Lauren and just insert some asshole white person in the mix and just have to deal with that shit. And you would think, okay, at least I got my peeps. I got my brothers and my sisters got my back. So, you know, when we're constantly being assaulted by, you know, the people in this, the asshole white supremacists in this country who think that because I am a black woman and a lesbian, I am less than, at least I'm like, well, I got my folks. My people got my back. And then you run across people like those assholes. And it's just like, I gotta wonder. If I really had the time or the inclination to actually really do some serious research on black conservatism, because I gotta wonder, what happened? What
Is it just the checks clearing? Is that what it's all about?
No, no,
scam?
Because this is before this check, you know, because, you know, this is beyond before the check clearing.
Okay.
You know, because all these people were in place long before, you know, the check clearing and all this. I mean, there are, you know, staunch Republicans. But even like people like Colin Powell, he's like, he had to, you know, he had to take a step back and say, oh, no. This shit done gone crazy. I can't be part of this party anymore. I can't be a part of this shit. And even though he was a Republican, I mean, or still is a Republican, never once did he, you know, talk badly about black people. He was proud of being black. Now he was actually talks about the fact that had it not been for programs like affirmative action, he wouldn't be where he is today.
Oh yeah. He was not one of those black leaders who, you know, gets achievement and then pulls the ladder up so nobody else can get there, like Uncle Clarence on the Supreme Court, for example. You know,
right? Exactly. It's like, yeah. You know, I've never had an issue with anybody being Republican up until now, because I cannot. It's like that article that I sent you. This morning. About the remember the other day I was doing a half-assed job of comparing Julius Geezer's followers and R.S. Kelly's followers, and then
yeah.
I kid you not, Bob, when I saw that article that did the compare, I'm like, see, I knew I was on the right track. I knew that there was a definite comparison to the people who follow R. Kelly, who his supporters. And the people who follow Trump. I mean, that article was brilliant. Or did you read it?
Oh, yes, I did.
Wasn't it brilliant? The comparisons of talking about, you know, how he has his handlers, how both of them have, you know, issues with reading and communication skills. Because apparently R. Kelly, that's one of the things they talked about in the documentary, barely can read and write.
And then, of course, there's a Boondocks clip for everything.
Oh, that can you play that? Can you play?
Yeah, I don't know. I get a little crawly with the presence of, you know, that word.
No, but that, okay, that worked, but you have, that, I mean, I know you do, but that worked, well, Huey says in that clip says it all. I mean, if you don't want to, or just at least put it in, but because basically, in the clip is, if anybody has, you know, watched the show, the cartoon Boondocks.
Yeah, if you go to YouTube and just look up Boondocks R. Kelly.
Just look up Boondocks R. Kelly, but this is during this clip takes place during the R. Kelly trial, and Huey is a young black kid that go, and him and his younger brother, they go to Chicago to see the R. Kelly, you know, trial. And so they have all these people cheering. They got, you know, the defense attorney is coming out and they start playing R. Kelly music. People are dancing in the courtroom and twerking. The judges.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
The defense attorney is dancing. And
oh, the judge is dancing.
Yes, the judge is dancing as well. And so Huey gets up and says, wait a god, turns off the music. It's like, wait a goddamn minute. What are y'all doing? This man has a problem. It's like, you know, yes, you know, he talks about how the government has systematically, you know, and made sure that black men have gone to jail for no reason and stuff like that. But he's like, but every brother, that's not what he said, that has gone, is being persecuted, is not, R. Kelly is not Nelson Mandela. You know, he's not being accused.
I gotta tell you, the part that laid me low, though, was when his own baby brother sold him out.
It's like, boo, you know, he goes on and on about it, but it's just like,
tell that kid with the afro to sit down and shut up.
Shut up, right? And then they turn the music on and stop, you know. And then, okay, and then the last part that he says, I fought Niggerence and Niggerence won. I mean, it's just, and then you, if you, you know, read the article and you go down and there's a in the comments, with, excuse me, this somebody posted about this white woman who's like, is all up, you know, all at arms about, you know, well, you know, I voted for Trump, but he's hurting the wrong people.
Oh, that one, yeah, that one got all over me like a dose of salts. The white lady in Florida, a nurse or something. Well, I voted for him. He's hurting the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in her world, there are people who need to be hurt. Presumably, migrants and people fleeing slaughter in their own countries. And see, you can address certain segments of society, but by the same token, you know, when I see a 1994 Chevy shitbox wobbling down the road, and it's held together by individual rust molecules and the one fucking screw keeping the West Virginia license plate on it, it's got a Dole Kemp sticker on it, and a Bush Cheney sticker, and a McCain Palin sticker, and a Romney Ryan sticker, and then there in the middle of it all, there's one that goes Trump. See, that's when I, you know, because they, nothing gets all over me more than a white welfare recipient going, I'm going to make America great again. You dumb bastard, he would starve you to death in a fucking minute and is trying to right now.
Well, our food stamps going to get cut soon, too.
Sure.
Until February or something like that.
And hey, Mr. Coal Miner, what are you going to think about that there Obama war on coal when it's Donald Trump makes your damn black lung benefits disappear?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, we're kind of low on time here. 13 minutes to go, and we still got those two magnificent challenges, courtesy of Darlene and Laborman, on the table. But I just got a note from Mark. This just in from the New York Times. You know, you kind of wondered what it was that had him. You know, anytime he starts behaving weirdly, Trump, you got to figure there's some shit coming.
There is
shit coming. I just read that article.
In the days after,
I just posted the link.
In the days after President Trump fired James B. Comey as FBI director, law enforcement officials became so concerned by the president's behavior that they began investigating whether he had been working on behalf of Russia against American interests, according to former law enforcement officials and others familiar with the investigation.
Booyah!
The headline, the headline's nothing to sneeze at. If I can get the damn thing to load.
Think of that implication of just that sentence.
Well, it's a confirmation of something we've been saying here all along. Once again,
yes.
You know, you want to be out in front of the curve so far it feels like you're on straight road. Listen to this program and then wait 6 months and the New York Times will report it.
That's right, baby.
But the headline,
we're not stupid out here.
No. The headline is breathtaking. I mean, I guess that's why it's a headline. The headline is breathtaking in its own right.
Yes.
And that is FBI investigated whether Trump was working for Russia.
That statement in itself is enough, right there.
So no wonder he's still fouled and loose.
Yes. He's going to get mighty desperate here real quick. You know, he's, I don't, you know, what he's going to do, the shutdown and the wall and all that, that's secondary to his main fucking problem. And that is, he's going to get convicted of this shit.
Yeah.
And, there it is. There it is. FBI opened inquiry into whether Trump was secretly working on behalf of Russia.
That's 2 days before Mueller.
Should have asked me, Bob. I've had the story posted and open it for 10 minutes.
I know. I've been looking at it for 10 minutes. I just got it a little bit ago, but this was the first opportunity to bring it in.
I think we all just read it when you posted it up there. Yeah. Yeah. Here we are, baby. America. You know? Look who you put this country in the hands of. A Russian whore. That's exactly what he is. He's been one for years, long before he came down that escalator. And he's here to do one damn thing, and that's destroy this country as much as he can for the benefit of Mother Russia.
So you
or
know
anybody that... else that's got a few bucks in their pocket they can stuff up his panties.
So you know what the Friday news dump is? I heard it. I was just clicked over to Chris Hayes' show. I heard it on his show. So it's going to be all over the CNN, MSNBC tonight, all weekend.
It'll be the talk of the town.
And he will crank up fake news, fake news.
Oh, it's going to become a national emergency real quick.
There's going to be major Twitter storms emanating from the White House, for sure. Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Twitter thunderclouds will be over the White House.
Mm-mm-mm. He's probably on his golden toilet as we speak.
Yeah, right.
Shit. He's sitting in the middle of his bed with a bucket of chicken looking at about 10 TVs.
Well, it's time to create another political disaster, like the super caravan coming to invade us all.
Oh, yes, yes. The murder and mayhem that is now forming in Honduras.
Are we talking about the killer bees now?
Doing,
what
Dennis?
Are we talking about?
How's it going there, John?
The killer bees coming to attack us?
There's a new caravan
coming. They got those cars. And...
Yeah, yeah. They're just
the ones with the big not medieval wheels. Thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, I had a note a few minutes ago. I saw it in the chat room, courtesy of Sailor Chick. Here are some things that are happening and continuing to happen with the shutdown. The National Finance Center is closed, so the feds can't get their W-2 forms and file taxes. The National Maritime Center is closed, and mariners can't renew their credentials. FAA Aero Medical is closed. Pilots can't renew their medical certifications. Do you see the looming crisis?
Oh, what a small price to pay. What a small price to pay for the massive, beautiful wall that we can build on our southern border. We can big golden door. Are you shitting me? He will burn this country to the ground. He does not care.
He's definitely doing a great job for Putin, weakening America, you know?
Yes, yes.
Amazing.
Divide the shit out of this country.
I mean, that's the only way, you know.
Landed down in Venezuela.
I mean, this country can only be defeated from within, not from without, you know?
Well, that's what Khrushchev said way back when. That's what he said, that they will defeat us from within.
Mm-hmm.
And Donnie seems to be their man. How
they play a very long
their Manchurian candidate.
Taking them 60 years to do it, but they waited until the right time, and boom.
Till the right whore came along.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donnie stumbled right in there with his whole family. With his whole family. So as far as I'm concerned, the whole family is a family of whores. That's all, baby.
What happened to the Russian, the Romanovs? No, I'm not going to go there.
What happened to the Republicans who used to be patriotic and love this country? Why ain't they standing up in the halls of Congress? Calling this man out.
Yeah.
You know, that's the question I have. At what point are those Republican senators going to stand up for the country they proclaim to love so much?
I think they're compromised by NRA money.
But it's not just that. The other thing, and it just dawned on me when I started the program this evening, the presence of Elaine Chao in the Trump cabinet is no accident.
No, no.
That's why Chinless Mitch is doing what he's doing, stopping all the legislation.
Yeah. Well, we need to ditch the Putin bitch and Mitch.
Well, once again, I will repeat my call we need ads. You know, don't even have to be for any particular candidate. Why is Mitch McConnell hurting our fellow Kentuckians? And you need to know, I don't care if you're watching fucking SpongeBob in Kentucky, you better see that ad.
He's the richest man in the Senate, baby. Mitch doesn't give a shit, just like Donnie doesn't give a shit. He's in it for the big money.
Well, hey,
how come they got their big tax cut? Speaking of big money, anybody met that match yet?
We are courtesy of Alma and Steve. Steve in, I want to make sure I don't get my Carolinas wrong. Steve from North Carolina. We've got $155 to go on it. So
that's as I repeat, where else are you going to find such fine entertainment for such a cheap price? And just like Bob pointed out, before that headline hit tonight, we already knew that. Everyone listening to this program already knew he was a Russian agent, already knew he was a Russian whore.
Bob
is a wizard. He predicts the course of future events. He just knows these things, Bob.
And what's going to happen to this asshole, Bob?
You know, my money, this is going to sound gross and everything. My money's on stroke.
We could be so lucky. We should be so lucky.
After that thing Tuesday night on TV, Agnes and I sat and watched it together. And, you know, she's a nurse. And she said, what in the hell is wrong with his right eye? Because his left eye had the pupil was as big as a damn piece of shotgun.
Oh, Jesus.
It was as big as a piece of double-aught buck.
Otto in the chat room was pointing that out in real time, practically. And he's not there now.
But the other thing, that was his left eye, the one that was open. His right eye was squinted, almost closed. Now, you got
to... Stress is getting to him, Bob.
Now, there's some...
Has he had a stroke already is the question.
Well, yeah.
Or a mini stroke, maybe an ischemic stroke or whatever they call it.
A TIA, a transient ischemic accident, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Those are the mini strokes. But the thing is, you can't live like he lives. You cannot be a septuagenarian speed freak.
No.
Eating chicken and tacos,
and not have some consequences from it. And again, when he was sitting, I don't know if you noticed it, but if you go back and you watch him in the video from today, where he was blathering on and on, he's still sniffing like a crazy. He is whacked out of his goddamn mind on speed. And anybody
I don't give a shit if he goes out in handcuffs, if he goes out on a gurney, if he goes out on a rail with tar and feathers. I don't really give a shit. I just want that disgusting turd out of that house. I don't care what way he goes. If he were to drop dead today, it would just tickle me to death.
But Uncle John, in case G.I. Joe man's listening, you don't mean that in a violent way or any harm.
No, hell no.
I don't advocate that. I want him dropped dead from just pure stress.
From eating too much chicken, eating too much KFC.
But there is too much about him that partakes of Greek tragedy. You know, in order for a tragedy to take place in ancient Greek theater, you had to have several elements come together, and one of them was that the tragic protagonist had to have a shit ton of hubris, which is a form of pride. Boundless pride that it never dawns on him might not be good.
You reckon Donnie's got a little bit of that?
I think he's got it coming in by fucking truckloads.
I think he's got it out the freaking wazoo.
Jesse Lee Peterson would say, truckloads.
Truckloads, that's right.
Truckloads. Yeah, that's who we have.
Bob.
That it is. Thank you, Sparky. So we got to get out of here. The challenges remain on the table for folks overnight. We've got $155 to go to meet the Impeach the Motherfucker Again challenge, courtesy of Gary Laborman, our buddy. And we've got a challenge on the table as well, courtesy of Darlene on behalf of the sorority of Leans. And the Reverse Oreo Cookie Society that Tracy has founded, and Tracy being the high priestess of the Sorority of Leans also. So with 1:55 to go, we will knock off. It's been a great conversation. Thanks to Sparky for moderating. Thanks, Dennis and Devin. It was great to hear from you, Devin. Thank you, John Bredevo, for coming on, even though even after your errands and everything. Thank you to Marcus, who was in the room. Thank you to Irwin. Thank you to Billable Rick and Steve from Georgistan. Beat that strep, Steve. And Tracy, please keep getting better, dear. And thanks to all of you who share in your precious finite time engaging in this little program. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air week after week. Thank you so very, very much indeed. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.